Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, February 15th, 2016. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. If anyone would like to email us a question, you can send it to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's questions, plural. Please support our business partners. See the banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, we're going to take a look tonight at tonight's scripture is going to be Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 22. Romans 5, 1 through 22. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offenses death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment come upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience were many sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much, much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That was Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Okay, tonight's topic, we're going to be looking a little bit out of a media release that we're going to be sending out as an open letter to the county sheriff. Gerard, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to read. Originally, a media release was put out concerning Oregon and the sheriffs. It was put out there in Oregon. I think it's about a week old, maybe a week and a half. We got a hold of it just over the beginning of the weekend. And it required really a response because there was a lot of problems with that letter. So Gerard will read the letter. It's a one-page letter. And then we'll read our media release, a response to the, and it's an open letter to the county sheriffs of Oregon. Gerard, do you want to read that letter and then I'll read the response?
Yeah, and if anybody wants to follow along, it is up on the site, and it's under the Wildlife Refuge, the new, Malheur Wildlife Refuge under news.
Right, and you should find it pretty close towards, let's see, I think it's right underneath the videos, it should be there.
Right, and so the Sheriff's Association media release is page 8, And they, our response to that are the 7 pages preceding that. So I'm going to start. This is
to let people know, right under the videos, maybe there's a long paragraph where we have some scripture there. Then it's the Oregon Ground Zero. It's the first line under Oregon Ground Zero. It says, Response Oregon to Sheriff Association press release. But
right.
Go ahead, Rod.
Right. And so this is the Oregon Sheriff's press release, and that's page 8 of that document. And it's headed Oregon State Sheriff's Association Conservators of the Peace media release. And then it says response to questions regarding the Oregon Office of Sheriff. And or this was written by the head of that organization. Anyway, sheriffs in all 36 Oregon counties have taken an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of Oregon, and the laws thereof. Our oath is our pledge to you to be conservators of the peace for our citizens, while being respectful of the rights afforded to all of us under the Constitution. What a great state and nation we live in that allows everyone to express their opinion, hold a sign in protest, lobby for a change, and live free without fear of retaliation from government. Our founding fathers created a system of government consisting of 3 branches, legislative, judicial, and executive. Sheriffs and sheriff's offices are part of the executive branch charged with enforcement of laws as directed by the legislative branch and interpreted by the judicial branch. Under our system of government, the judicial branch is given the authority to interpret the constitutionality of our laws. We are a nation of laws, and the executive branch cannot override the laws passed by the legislative branch, nor can we ignore the clear guidance of the judicial branch. There is a process for changing the laws of our great nation and for amending our Constitution, and that process does not involve the armed takeover of government facilities and the disruption of an entire community. We fully support the expression of political opinions and advocating for change within the legal system, and that is what sets our country apart from developing countries where government is changed by an armed takeover. Recently, men and women have broken the law and encouraged others to take up arms against our local and federal governments. These individuals have used firearms and their interpretation of the Constitution to justify their criminal behavior. These militia men and women have broken into publicly owned buildings, disrespected Native American heritage, and intimidated and harassed local residents and officials. These men and women are asking for change, and we support their right to challenge our government and to make change. However, we do not agree with or support any citizen or elected official who would advocate for change in the manner that includes illegal actions, threats of violence, or violence against any citizen of the United States. And then he has his mailing address. So with that, we have the response that National Liberty Alliance is mailing to these sheriffs and many other people.
All right. On the surface, that paper, you know, looks kind of good. Some people might have picked some things up very quickly, but there was a lot of, you know, very subtle problems in that letter of understanding the Constitution and military response. I just want to make another point or an observation. You know, during this quote-unquote seize of the wildlife preserve up there, it was really a protest, and these people from the town or the county were coming up there. People up there were going down into the town. They were having meetings. They were talking with the sheriff. I mean, they could have arrested these people at any given time. But instead, there was dialogue. There was communications. There was things happening. And even the FBI sort of backed off, and they were friendly. And, of course, right up until the time, about a week before they assassinated Lavoie, things started to change, and he made note of that in a in an interview that he had given. You know, why rattling this what was that, the saber? Yeah, I think it was the
saber.
And also talked about being so far away because now all of a sudden everything became militarized. And what happened was someone was sent from Washington, and when they got there, everything changed, and they had a whole new focus. But even when they were heading down into a town along that road where they ambushed them, they were heading for the sheriff, and they knew. They hear all the phone calls that was going up there. They had spies up there. It's suspected that the person driving the second car was a spy. They knew exactly where he was going, and if they really wanted to arrest him, he could have just walked into the sheriff's office when they were talking or wherever they were meeting the sheriff at some meeting place and just arrested them. But instead, they chose to do what they did. But anyway, that's just concerning the event up there that took place. But going back to this letter that was written, or this, and this was written by Jason Myers. He's the president of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. So we addressed it to him because it was released from his office. He approved that, and I'm sure, you know, he had other people help him write this thing, or whatever the case may be. And we've labeled this corrections of responses to answers to questions regarding the sheriffs of Oregon, and then we attached it, see attached. And we are copying by mail. This is going out tomorrow morning, by the way. It has been going out by fax over the holiday weekend. It went over the weekend, and it's going out today. I don't know if the sheriff's departments are recognizing the President's Day as a holiday or not, but in any event, it's going out to the sheriff's departments in all 3,143 counties. So I think by now they've all got it, and now it's going out to about 20 or 30,000 other elected officials, both on the state and federal level, by fax. But we are copying, and it's mentioned in here on the front page, copying all the sheriffs. We name the sheriffs by name. There are 36 of them in Oregon, including Sheriff Ward, and of course including Sheriff Jason Myers, the president of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. And it starts out, all sheriffs in Oregon counties have not taken an oath to obey and support the Constitution for, not of, but for the United States of America. As Jason Myers, president of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, states in his press release, see attached. Clatsop County Sheriff Thomas J. Bergen has not had an oath on file since November 6, 2012. Washington County Sheriff Pat Garrett was forced by public scrutiny to file a belated oath. To date, we have only checked about 50% of the county's records in Oregon's, where oaths ought to be on file. And we suspect that we may find more. Which, by the way, tonight, if Robert's investigated further on that, maybe he may have some more information. But anyway, Jason Myers, president of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, is in serious error when he states that rights are afforded to the people under the Constitution, when in fact rights are unalienable. And the Constitution is there to bind down tyrants, thereby protecting the rights of the people. The sheriff, being a constitutional officer, is bound by oath to protect those rights by force if necessary, which clearly they have not been doing because they are relying on judges and legislators to tell them what to do, and thereby are in derelict of duty and unfit for their office. The sheriff works for the people and is the people's protector, not the government's protector. He answers to the people, but tyrants have beguiled sheriffs to do their bidding unwittingly through ignorance. Case in point, if Sheriff Ward of Harney County had known the Constitution, he would have performed his duty by enforcing the Constitution and commanded the BLM and the FBI to leave Harney County, and LaVoy Finnegan would be alive today, and the Hammonds would not be in jail today. This places Sheriff Ward in bad behavior, liable for all damages, including the assassination of LaVoy Finnegan. The Constitution is the law of the land, and as Thomas Jefferson said so eloquently, laws are made for men of ordinary understanding and should therefore be construed by ordinary rules of common sense. Their meaning is not to be sought out in metaphysical subtleties, which may make anything mean everything or nothing at pleasure. The Constitution was written for ordinary men. If all the sheriffs in the western states understood the Constitution and performed their duties as conservators of the peace, many homes would not have been burned down by the BLM thugs. Cattle would not have been burned alive, and cattle ranchers, miners, and loggers would not have been terrorized off the land by the BLM. On the Oregon State Sheriff's Association website, the message of Jason Myers, president of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, is that they are providing scholarships to worthy college students but they ignore providing a constitutional education for Oregon County sheriffs. Today, people are not free to express their opinion. Thousands of people around the nation are imprisoned daily because they challenge law enforcement and judges who are violating their unalienable rights under the color of law. And sheriffs who took an oath to protect are too ignorant concerning the law to understand it. Jason Myers, president of the Oregon State Sheriffs Association, is again wrong, being ignorant to the law of the land. Sheriffs and sheriff's officers are not part of the executive branch charged with enforcement of laws as directed by the legislative branch and interpreted by the judicial branch. The sheriff is a judicial officer enforcing the law of the land in the county, in the court, and in the jail, county jail, according to his knowledge of the Constitution. The sheriff is not to shirk his duties to another, and if the sheriff does not know the Constitution, he lied when he took his oath of office to support and protect it. This can be remedied by taking a free constitutional course and civics course at powerofthecountysheriff.com. The sheriff has the power to arrest any judge, prosecutor, legislator, president, governor, etc. within his county if they violate one of the people's unalienable rights. The sheriff can bring the charges before the grand jury, and the people will agree with him or not. No damage done if he is in error. But if the people agree, he will get his indictment and an arrest warrant shall be issued. The sheriff goes back over 800 years with a rich history. Only in recent times has the judiciary robbed the protection of the sheriff and the jury from the people. Legislators have unconstitutionally codified the jury, and the judiciary has deceived the sheriff, and thereby the government has become the judge, jury, and executioner, a travesty of justice, because sheriffs do not know their duty. Under our system of government, the judicial branch has not been given the authority to interpret the constitutionality of the laws. Only the jury has that authority. The jury has the right to judge both the law as well as the facts in controversy. John Jay, first Chief Justice, United States Supreme Court, 1789. Article 3, Section 2 authorizes federal court judges in equity cases only, and they are bound by Article 4, Paragraph 2, and American jurisprudence. The Supreme Court of the United States may overrule only in these equity cases, and only according to common law. In all criminal cases and equity cases where the value of controversy exceeds $20 and demanded by one of the parties, the jury decides both the facts and the law, and not even the Supreme Court of the United States can revisit their decision. Decisions of a court of record, trial by jury is a court of record, may not be appealed. It is binding on all other courts. However, no statutory or constitutional court, whether it be an appellate or Supreme Court, can second-guess the judgment of a court of record. That's a trial by jury. The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of this court would be. It is as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. It puts an end to the inquiry concerning the facts by deciding it. Ex parte Watkins, 3 Peter, and it was cited by numerous cases. One is Schreckencloth versus Bustamante in 1973. When the United States Supreme Court rules in an equity case concerning legislation and the Constitution does not provide for said legislation, the United States Supreme Court must rule it null and void. Neither the legislators nor the judiciary can interpret it. It either is lawful or it is unlawful. Therefore, it is the duty of the court to watch for legislative encroachments upon the rights of the people. And if there is any controversy between the legislation and the rights of the people, American jurisprudence demands the rights of the people to prevail. It is agreed that the protesters at Malheur Wildlife Preserve should not have taken control of the preserve. But if the people were to know the truth, it is doubtful that a free and independent jury would determine a prison sentence. unlike the puppet grand jury controlled by the constitutionally banned chancery courts that are illegally operating under bar orchestration on American soil. There is no need for amending the Constitution. Sheriff Ward only needed to enforce it, and peace would have been restored without delay. This is what the protest was all about, the desire of the law of an order that Sheriff Ward failed to provide, but instead unlawfully passed his authority to the FBI. The FBI were there to enforce the will of the tyrants in Washington instead of the people in their respective counties. And this action made Sheriff Ward guilty of the conspiracy to assassinate LaVoy Finnegan. Finally, the militia did not break into publicly owned buildings, disrespect Native American heritage, intimidate and harass local residents and officials. In fact, the FBI, pretending to be militia, did indeed intimidate law enforcement and residents. The discovery of this revelation by the Harney County Fire Marshal Chris Briles resulted in his resignation in disgust. The people of Harney County formed a committee of safety. Because the law broke down due to the inaction of Sheriff Ward, the committee of safety had the authority to call in the militia to prevent the people from the out-of-control BLM. FBI and government-sanctioned foreign mercenaries, the militia, never became part of the protest because they were there only for security. We, the people, believe that there is nothing wrong with our government, our Constitution, and lawful laws of the land. The problem is that organized crime has seized control of our reins of government, and we, the people, working lawfully with our sheriffs, can take it back, but only if we learn the law and execute it. In closing, we will end with some alarming statements that are difficult to hear from U.S. presidents, a Supreme Court justice, a U.S. ambassador, a New York City mayor, a U.S. congressman, and a U.S. senator, out of many hundreds to choose from. All reasoning with us, the cause behind all the woes America is experiencing today. And some of them have given their life in order to expose the truth to save ours. It is up to the county sheriff and the people to cut out the cancer that plagues America by simply indicting and arresting elected and appointed servants who are violating the law of the land, also known as the U.S. Constitution. In short, we are asking you to be an oath keeper. The war against tyrants has been raging in America since the signing of the Constitution in 1789. They have seized control of our education, dumbing us down, removing civics and constitutional studies from our curriculum, teaching fiction for history, and that our government is a democracy when in fact we are a republic. Vladimir Lenin, founder of the Russian Communist Party, leader of the Bolshevik Revolution, architect and first head of the Soviet state, said, "Democracy is indispensable to socialism." President Woodrow Wilson said, "An invisible empire has been set up above the forms of democracies. These men have rendered the great government of the United States helpless and contemptible. Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privily. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the fields of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." In 1922, New York City Mayor John F. Hyland said, "The real menace to our republic is this invisible government, which like a giant octopus sprawls its slimy length over city, nation, state, and nation. Like the octopus of real life, it operates under cover of a self-created screen. At the head of this octopus are the Rockefeller Standard Oil interests and a small group of powerful banking houses, generally referred to as international bankers. The little cartel of power international bankers virtually runs the United States government for their own selfish purpose. They practically control both political parties. And by the way, they control both political parties today. In 1936, Joseph Kennedy said, 50 men run America, and that's a high figure. In 1952, Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter said, the real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scenes. In 1954, Senator William Jennifer said, today the path of total dictatorship in the United States can be laid by strictly legal means, unseen and unheard by the Congress, the President, or the people. Outwardly, we have a constitutional government. We have operating within our government and political system another body representing another form of government, a bureaucratic elite. Before the American Newspaper Publishers Association in New York City on April 27, 1961, President JFK, John F. Kennedy, in a speech said, today, no war has been declared, and however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemies are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger, and yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting the declaration of war before it imposes self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear, and its presence has never been more imminent. It requires change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions, by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its spheres of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War, in short, with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope to wish to match. There is very grave danger that an announced need for an increased security will be seized upon by these anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment, that I do not intend to permit to the extent that is in my control. President Kennedy, assassinated November 22nd, 1963. In 1976, Congressman Larry P. McDonald, killed in Korean Airlines 747 that was shut down by the Soviets, said in a news conference just prior to his death, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government, combining Sherpa capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean a conspiracy? Yes, I do. I am convinced there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. David Rockefeller, founder of the Trilateral Commission, in the address to a meeting of the Trilateral Commission in June 1991, said, we are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Times Magazine, and other great publications, whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march forward or toward a new a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries. Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. So the question is, will we remain ignorant to the Constitution and continue as useful idiots, assisting tyrants in the enslaving of ourselves until it is too late to do anything? Or do we listen to the wisdom of the founders of this republic? Put not your faith in men, but bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson, Kentucky Resolution, 1798, issue number 57. We will be calling on you shortly to stand with we the people and restore America to its roots, because only the people and the county sheriff can save America peacefully. United we stand and divided we fall. Learn more, www.powerofthecountysheriff.com. Take our free constitutional course and our free civics course. Join our next teleconference call. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Dated February 13, 2016. Signed by the grand jury foreman. And as I mentioned before, this will be going out to about 30,000 people by fax. We will be sending it out, we've already sent it out to all 3,143 county sheriffs by fax. We will be sending a hard copy letter to all 36 Oregon county sheriffs. And we will be contacting those sheriffs and taking it from there. So, only we the people can save America. It's time for everyone to stand up. I sent out a message today to our membership, to pretty much our entire membership, asking them to get involved, asking them to come to these Monday night calls if they're not coming, asking if they can give $5 a month or more in order to support the work that we're doing. It costs a lot of money to send some of these informations out, and we'd love to be able to send a hard copy papers to all 3,143 shares, but that's quite a bit of money. We do have, fax machines running 24/7, and we are getting this out anyway by fax, and certain people, we are getting it out by hard copies. We are filing papers. We'll be doing something very special this week that's very important, extremely important. There's some real serious problems that have recently taken place. I'm not going to talk about them tonight, and I don't want to talk about them until we get this paper together and get it out, and then we'll probably read it next Monday, and we'll talk some more about that. But look at the governors of the states, of the 50 states, need to step up and do something too. But first we need the sheriffs to step up and do the right thing. We're not asking them to do anything other than just to make sure that the law is being kept. That's all we're asking them to do, enforce the law. If someone breaks that law, they need to arrest these people. And if they're concerned about whether this was a law or not, they don't have to arrest them first. They can come to the grand jury first. And they can ask the grand jury for an indictment and tell the grand jury why. And the grand jury will decide. So there's no problem if the sheriff makes a mistake. But look, the sheriff can't enforce the law unless he knows the law. And that's one of the things we're trying to do, is to get the sheriffs out to nationallibertyalliance.org or to the powerofthecountysheriff.com. Get them out there. Click on our constitutional course. Take the course. Anybody, it's like taking a Regents test. You know, you can get it done on one Saturday. You get start at 9 o'clock in the morning. You should be able to get done by 3 o'clock in the afternoon with breaks. You can get it done in one day. We also have a civics course, which is extremely important. It puts all of the problems, all of the woes of America into perspective. It explains exactly how we got to where we are in detail. It's true American history. And we've also, in that civics course, it's 120 hours. That's a long one, 120 hours. But you can do a few hours a night on that one, or so many hours on a Saturday or Sunday on that one. take your time on it, but you've got to get through it. You've got to learn through American history. You've got to learn how America got to where we got to today and how these people were able to gain control of our nation, to take control of the helm. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the three branches of government, the structure and the basic laws, the Constitution, and the laws that are not repugnant to the Constitution. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Everything is still in place. But we have been corporatized. They have created corporations, and they've laid these corporations over every one of our trusts, government trusts, whether it be county trusts, town trusts, state trusts, and federal trusts. That's the government. But everything is still there. The problem we have is we have a cancer, a group of people who have taken control of the controls of America, and we're out of control and we're heading for a crash. And only we, the people, can stop it if we act, and we must act now. This year, we have called the year, ultimately, of justice, Campaign for Justice 2016. And hopefully everyone will get involved and let's save this nation this year. And I think what we're going to discuss next week is going to be extremely disturbing, and should put every one of us into an emergency mode to get this job done now. Okay, that's all we have to say on that. Let's see what else we have. Gary, do we have any questions by email or anything? I didn't notice anything coming in.
let me double check. I think we did. But nothing stood out, so just go ahead and go on.
Okay, is there anybody, any of our committee leaders, or anybody that wants to make some statements or bring us up to par on anything special, or do we have anybody who wants to speak special or anything out there? Gary, are you aware of anything, or shall I say to Jan?
No, I'm not aware of anything.
Not tonight.
Okay. Let me see what else we have. Okay, let me just make a couple of points. I know the newsletter went out late. I think it just went out today or yesterday. It's the one kind of late, but we'll try to do better than that to get all the information out. But don't forget, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have jury administration training. For anybody that wants to get involved with that, please get involved. This Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We did have it last Wednesday. We moved it to this Wednesday. Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have a special meeting for all federal district leaders. We're going to be discussing our campaign for justice. We're going to be discussing our plan. And we're going to really start putting ourselves together to get out there to do what we have to do as a one group of people. United we stand, divided we fall. We need all 94 federal district leaders to be working together to do the same thing across America. So this is open to anybody. Anybody who would like to become a federal district leader can let us know on Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can come to the meeting. It's open to anyone to come listen in on anyway. And it'll be right here in this room. So it'll be the same place, same time, only except it's a Wednesday. Anybody who would like to get onto the list prior can get a hold of one of the national coordinators. You can find them on the directory. You can get a hold of Jan, Robert. You can get a hold of Gary, or you can even call Linda. Get your name in there. Tell them you want to be a federal district leader. We need more than one per federal district, so please, everybody should really consider taking up that position. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we're going to really do all the work to save America, is on that level right there, the federal district levels. Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Sheriff's Committee meets. Again, for more information, where would we find information on that meeting? Gary, do you know? Or Jan? The Sheriff's Committee? You might be muted if you're talking.
Under committees.
It would be under committees. Just look under the committees and not the directory, but they look under the sheriff committee, right?
Right.
Okay. We'll have to create a special page and put a button up there for the sheriff's committee. All right. Anyway, Sundays, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Bible studies. We're doing Harmony of the Gospels. We haven't had them for the past couple of weeks. It's going to be at least another week before we get back to that. And it could be 2 weeks. It depends on how busy we are. Because literally we are going 24/7. We get no rest. I myself personally got out of bed this morning and started working, and I haven't stopped since. And I'm not going to stop until midnight before I'm going to get a break. Of course, I took a break for dinner. But, a lot of us are working 24/7 to get this job done. So we need help. We need lots of help. Even if it's only an hour or two a week, we'd appreciate that. Get onto a committee. Get involved. Join efforts. Become a leader. Even if you can't take the lead role on a federal district, maybe you can put a few hours in a week to assist on the federal district or the state level or the county level. Come on, we need leaders everywhere. Let's see. For information on other committees, you can click on our committees tab up on the top of our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. And I think that brings us to an end. Gerard, I'll hand it over to you to go into Q&A. You're muted if you're talking. You there?
He's not making a lot of noise.
No.
Hey, are you calling me? I just got back on. My Skype kicked me out.
Oh, okay. Well, we're just moving over to you if you want to take on the Q&A.
Okay, I'm going to turn the queue on.
All right, let me first say that before anyone gets into the Q&A, you hit star 6 to get into Q&A, but we'd like to first hear from people who have never been on the mic. Maybe we have new people with us that would like to get into the Q&A and ask a question or make a comment. Maybe we have people who have been trying for a while, haven't been able to get into the queue and get their questions asked, because at the end of every Monday, we seem to run out of time and never can get to everyone. We do try to do that, but we're not very good at that part. So again, anybody that has never asked a question, anybody that is new, anybody that has been trying to ask questions for a few weeks, star 6 to get into Q&A. Give them about 15 seconds, and then anybody else can hit star 6 to get into Q&A. Okay, Gerard, you got it.
Okay. And you people can continue to get in, and the rest of the people can that want to talk can also get in. Okay, I'm going to unmute. The first question, first person is 9429, ending in 9429. You're unmuted. Give me your name and your state anyway.
Yeah, David, Washington State.
Okay, welcome, David.
Yeah, I've signed up for a number of committees, and the only one that's really putting any that's tasking me is the courtroom observers. I've been to a couple of cases locally here. Mm-hmm. I've just recently retired, so I've increased my bandwidth. I was interested in I forget which ones I actually signed up for, but so I'm just wondering I signed up for the tech committee. I know that I did that. But I've had a couple things to do, and it just kind of fell by the wayside. And I'm just wondering, the welcoming committee, jury courtroom, jury administrator committee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me make a suggestion for you here.
Yeah.
We have about 12 committees, and half of them really aren't up and running very well yet, and we're working on that. Working on leadership and so on. And anybody who wants to take leadership role in committees, please jump in. And even if there are leaders there, join, become another leader with them if you've got the time. But the best thing to do is to get a hold of either Jan, click on the directory and get a hold of one of the national leaders. There's Robert up there, there's Jan, there's Gary, and there's about six of them. And give one of them a call or send them an email and just ask them, talk to them about your concerns and what committee you want to get into. They'll let you know what the activity is and who the person is you need to get to. And again, sometimes some of the people are in part-time and they may not get back to you as fast as someone that is in full-time. So this is some of the problems we have. But there are certain committees that are extremely active. They're really hardcore, moving very strong. But some are.
There is another concern that I have. There's one particular. I was going through the training, the subjects course, and there's one. What would you call it? class or a session, call it a session, and it had about 4 or 5 audio recordings in it and a whole lot of questions. And I got stumped there. I kind of got stumped, you know, because just the length, the duration of listening to all those audios and then answering the questions at the end. I was wondering if it would be, I could get some help with that.
I'm kind of stumped on that myself. Whereabout is that? Because I thought, I'm pretty sure that as you go through each section, you'll get only one audio or one video, and you'd listen through that, and then you'd be asked questions, and you go to the next step. So there shouldn't be, to my knowledge, 3 or 4 that you have to listen to before you get to questions. So,
So whom can I speak with ring that out?
John, okay. I can probably help him with that. Give me a call, 814-531-5363.
What's your name?
That's Jan, J-A-N.
Oh, Jan, okay. So I think I've got your email, Jan.
Okay.
I'll do that. All right,
good.
That's all I've got.
Glad
thanks much.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Hang on here. We'll move to the next question. It's David in Nevada, it looks like. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, David.
Hey, how's it going? I don't really have a question. I have some information about Clark County, Nevada. Sure.
Okay.
About 4 months ago, he had a number. You know, you could actually call him. But now they got him a PIO, it's called, probably a media relations person. Now you can't even talk to the sheriff here in this county. I've sent them 3 emails, 4 of them, and I've gotten 1 response. He has no number now to get hold of him. The number that on the master sheriff's list for NLA is been disconnected. The number you guys have.
So he doesn't want to talk to his constituents. In other words.
yeah. Apparently, yeah, he doesn't want to talk to us, and also. Now they've already put a pilot program in here in the judicial system for it's a small thing of the TPP, because when you go to file a lawsuit now, you have to go into arbitration first, like the TPP is going to be, and it's a pilot program. They specifically said pilot program. I was just thumbing through some stuff and found that, and I have called the police department here probably 12 times in the last week or two. Every time I have not gotten to speak to a police officer. They are all private entities. They're all private people. They're all citizens. Not once have I got a police officer.
What do you mean? They're contracting people to answer the phones?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so they don't want you to have access to the actual boots on the ground, is what that's about.
Yeah, because I specifically asked for a police officer, and there was
One of the things we are doing in trying to make people aware, and you know, first of all, we are not here for vengeance or anger. We've always got the olive branch out, especially to the sheriffs, no matter what kind of errors they're making, especially out of ignorance and stupid things they're doing. We always got that olive branch out there. But at some point, when things really get hardcore, particularly in this area or that area, and they don't respond properly, they're going to become damaged themselves in the judicial process. They're going to find themselves out of office and under indictment. But up until that point, we will try our best to really get through, break through the veil, so to speak, and to actually get to these people. And one of the things we're trying to let all of these elected individuals know is that they must make themselves available. They have a duty to speak, and they have a duty to, you know, whenever they're asked a question, they have a duty to answer. They can't put someone else on the phone. They can't put someone else in place. They can't ignore it. If they can't plead, you know, the Fifth or anything. They must answer because they have authority, they have power, they have a jurisdiction, and they have therefore have a duty to speak. So we're trying to get that message out to these people, and hopefully they're going to respond. And the way we're going to get to these sheriffs that are really, you know, shelling themselves in, so to speak, and preventing any kind of interaction with the people, especially people who are trying to get the law, applied. The way we're going to get to those sheriffs really is through the sheriffs next door. When we can get a few sheriffs in every state to really start working with what we're doing, with us, with we the people, and really start enforcing the law and getting involved and then starting to talk with the sheriff next door to them and the sheriff next door to them and the sheriff next door to them and getting a hold of the association and trying to turn the tides in the associations. These associations should be busy about spending their funds and their monies towards educating the sheriff and the Constitution. They're not doing this. What's wrong with these people? Don't they realize? Don't they understand they took an oath? Okay, but anyway, this is how we're going to get to those people. And if they don't hear the voice of the many, especially from the sheriffs themselves, the other sheriffs around them, then they're going to get themselves tied up in a situation they're going to wish they never got into at the end, because they will be charged with subversion against the United States, subversion against the people. And that's going to have a pretty hefty price to pay. Of course, you know, it's not for us to decide. It'll be the trial jury, whoever those people are that hear this case. And they're going to decide what that punishment is going to be. But it's going to be very serious. So hopefully they'll hear and they'll wake up and start to respond and start to obey the law. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take anything special just to open your eyes and realize what you need to do. If the law is being broken, you need to stop it from being broken. That's your job. And that's as simple as that. Apply the Constitution. And if you don't know the Constitution, go to thepowerofthecountysheriff.com, read that page, become fully informed, click on the course button for the Constitution in the top bar under the courses, click on the course, learn the Constitution, take the civics course, and at the end of that, you will understand. You will see how these people are destroying America, and you better start putting them in jail. And you can come to us first. We'll pull a grand jury locally to you. Or we'll do at this point, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is doing indictments. And by the way, I did mean to mention this. Everybody needs to be up on the page of the wildlife refuge page that we set up for the news and devour everything. We're going to be starting to load up a lot of evidence and a lot of papers up there. And everybody needs to be fully informed on those papers and what's going on. We'll be putting videos up there and different things. It's evidence. And we're going to be calling for a unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, bringing everyone together in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a list of people for indictments. But first, you need to look at the evidence. So keep your eyes open. We will make an announcement at least a week before so people can finish catching up on all of the stuff we're going to put up there so that they can make a good decision and a vote on the indictments coming up. And, you know, look at this grand jury that we sit on. We have over 5,000 people that, you know, in theory sit on this grand jury. We have many hundreds that come together during the process whenever we pull the grand jury together. But we are from every state of the union, and we are working down into all the counties. We are in every single federal district in America. We are in every single state. We are organized in every state. We are organized through process every county. We're looking for leaders in every county. We got leaders in quite a few counties, but we need more. And we're working on organizing so that everybody is on a grassroots level, takes the authority there. But the purpose of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has only one purpose, and will sit only as long as it takes to get through one case. And that case is dealing with subversion against the United States of America from enemies, domestic and foreign. Okay, and that's our purpose and our only purpose. Once we accomplish that goal, this grand jury dismantles. We pass it into the courts, and the trial juries take it, and they deal with it. And then we will be dealing with juries on the federal level, grand juries on the federal level, people only within the federal districts coming together, organizing and running under the principles that we have set forth, which are the principles of God. So coming with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And we also will be passing this down right into the states. And actually, ultimately, the states will be running it on the county levels, and all the county levels collectively will be running it in the federal levels. So we've organized this in a very logical fashion, the way it should have been. And we're very well organized and coming along, and membership is moving quite quickly. So it's only a matter of time. Hopefully all that helps. But anyway, back to you, Gerard.
Okay, that was...
I had something else to say, but go ahead.
No, I was just turning back to you. And,
okay. The whole reason I got all that information was I had a friend that had a vehicle stolen. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And they found it the next day. Okay, so they say they called him to come get his vehicle. Well, his thing was full or whatever, I guess. He never got the phone call. So they impounded it. And now he can't afford to get his vehicle out, so he's going to lose his vehicle because they only made one phone call. This is my deal. So, and when he tried to call the police station, he's got the title to his vehicle. They put an attorney on the phone with him.
Yeah.
Not a police officer.
They lawyered up, huh?
Yeah, they lawyered up.
They lawyered up right off the bat. And that's a problem.
That's all I got. That's all I got, guys. So.
You know, I mean, look, when you have an elected sheriff, at least you have some control. Because if he's doing stuff like that, you can make an issue out of it. You can bring it to the people. You can say, is this the guy we want, that sheriff? He doesn't answer his phone. He does this, this, and that. And he has to answer for that. Of course, if you got, you know, another type of police force other than the sheriff, that's local. That's also somewhat controlled politically. Maybe not as well as the sheriff is, but, you know, your local police force tends to have more concern about local people because their budgets are run by the locality, you know.
Yeah.
So that requires you getting a little more political to do it, which, you know, I would make sure I would complain to those local officials and bring it back on a local level and tell them, you know, we're not going to put up with their, you know, their corporate tactics is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
We're not a corporation. We're not going to act like one, and you got to stop treating the people, you know, like we're slaves, you know, and you're our masters. And that's all you can do. What else are you going to do?
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Wisconsin Randy, you're next in the queue with the question or comment. Go ahead. Randy.
Yes.
Actually, I don't know if it's Wisconsin. It looks like WI. Yeah, go ahead. I can hear you now.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yep.
I just had a quick question. I was foreclosed on, and I was trying to get my credit cleaned up. Does John have any way of getting your credit cleaned up pretty quick?
Well, I don't know if John has a way. I mean, there's lots of programs out there that claim.
I've tried a lot of them, and just it's not working. All they want is the money and stuff, and they're just not getting it cleaned up.
Yeah, that's the most of them do. But I know there's some better ones. I just can't tell you what they are. I tried to clean my credit up, and what I did is I paid all my bills off, and I paid all my credit cards off, and I went to buy something, and they said, you have no credit. And I said, really? And I almost felt happy about that, because you can get, it's very hard today to live without credit.
Yeah, that's the problem I got right now. It's just all the mortgages.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have no credit cards. I don't have no debt. Just
well,
that I've got all the banks showing the delinquent because of the foreclosures.
Well, you know, there is a way, and a lot of times when you get done with a foreclosure, I don't know if you went through bankruptcy or not, but I have heard from people that have been through bankruptcy that the banks run right out and try to loan them money right away because they know you're clean and they know you can't do it again for 7 years. So all of a sudden they want to lend you money. So I don't know. I do know that you can do things like get, go ahead and get a secured credit card where you put $500 down, and then you.
Right. I've heard of those.
That takes a little while to do, but you can do that. I mean, there's no reason to not start that, you know. And unfortunately, you know, when you don't have credit, you end up spending the most amount of money. So the people who can afford it to at least pay the most. It's ironic, right? And you can do things like get yourself into a car loan and pay it off. You know, of course you're getting into something with an interest rate that's crazy, you know. So I don't know. You know, if you bought a $1,000 car, that would be a way of doing it. But there are companies out there that know how to clean it up. And the other thing is there's ways of going in. A lot of times the information on the credit report is not credible. They have mistakes. And that's one way you can go after them, because they have to keep it current, and there's certain rules and regulations about how they report that, they're liable for putting the wrong information out. And a lot of times, if you go through the information, you'll find discrepancies. And then based on that, you can have it removed. Now, I don't know. I know people were using the Fair Debt and Collection Act, you know, that rules debt collectors. Well, if you read through that law, a lot of times you'll find things that they're doing wrong that will help clean up your credit because they'll have to stop.
I've had a couple, whatever. I did really entail, you know, showing, you know, the Fair Debt Credit Act, you know, and it states very clearly that they have to send copies of everything that's in the file, and they don't respond, and they don't, don't copy anything and send it to me. They say everything's recorded the same.
Well,
and that's
one thing you could do, when they don't respond to you, you could do a notice and demand, follow through that process. You can find examples on our website. You can find examples of that on 1215.org. Once you do the notice and demand, and then you do the default, because they're going to default it, and you do the default, and you've already put your demand in, and you're very careful. You better make sure you do the right thing, what you want to demand. You're demanding that they clean your slate altogether to begin with. Then you might want to even demand a few dollars. I don't know. It depends on, you know, what's really going on there. But once you do those two things and you get the default, then you do a show cause in the local court. That would be the Supreme Court. I don't know what they call it in your state. Here in New York, it's called the Supreme Court, the County Supreme Court. It's the State Supreme Court in the County of Dutchess, County of Orange, whatever the case may be. But it's the state court. And you bring up a show cause on why a judgment shouldn't be given to you, and you lay out, you know, you bring those documents in as proof they didn't respond. They got to respond to that. They will probably default on that. They'll do one of two things. They'll default on that, or they may get themselves a lawyer to go in there to have it thrown out of court, which you have to know how to block that and prevent that from happening, because you're not looking for any summary judgments. You're coming in under the common law. It's just to show cause, and they got to obey the law. So if you know how to block that kind of a thing when they try to get a summary judgment, because the judge will give it to them if he gets you into the court. Once you get to the end of that, then it's a matter of just going down and filing a default with the county clerk, and then taking that default down to the sheriff and telling the sheriff, you want this executed, which means he's got to go out even to this place wherever this they're keeping your records at, and he's got to make sure that they clean it completely, get everything off of it, and also collect whatever damages that you may have put in there. So you got to be real careful when you put it together, and you got to be realistic. And that's the best advice I can give you on that.
Okay. Yeah, I got it all together ready. I did 4 attempts, whatever, and they defaulted and defaulted and defaulted.
Yeah, but you write it the right way. There's a proper way that you have to write it, that they're giving you the authority to make the decision for them. Okay? And that's why, now people will take that and try to do a commercial game with that and try to do something in rem. No, they didn't have their day in court yet. The day in court comes with the show cause. They're not going to be able to respond to the show cause. So that's where they'll lose anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
for that. Yep. Okay, it says Kevin from Washington. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm new to the NLA.
Well, welcome.
Well, thank you. And I am so new that I would like to be involved, and I think I sent a text to, I'm in Idaho, by the way. Actually, I don't know how they got Washington.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, I previously lived in Spokane, but we do live in Idaho now. I'm not where the government seat, you know, is. It's all down in Boise. It's a long ways away from where I am. I sent a text to, I don't know if it's the county organizer here or state person.
Yeah, let me suggest this. Anybody who wants to get involved, get a hold of a national coordinator. You can find them on our directory. You get the phone numbers. Call them straight up. Discuss with them some of the things you'd like to do. They'll discuss with you certain things, give you some advice, some thoughts, some other ideas. You know, they'll expound to you other things that are possible, too. And then when you try to decide what it is you want to do to help out and where you think you'll fit best, then they'll help get you into that group to get working. And right now, the biggest job that we really need to fill places in is district coordinators, district leaders. That's federal district leaders. There are 90 federal district leaders in the United States, and there are 4 in the territories. And we'd like to fill all 94 of them, but we're focusing in, obviously, on the 90. So anybody in any state that wants to be a district, a federal district leader, just get a hold of any of the directors, any of the coordinators, I mean, the national coordinators. Give them a call, and we'll get you going.
Great. Okay, so when you say the national coordinator, is there one for each state, or there's one national?
No. There's 7 national coordinators. If you go up to our directory and just click on directory up on the blue line, okay?
Yeah, I have the directory on.
And then just scroll down, and you'll see there's the Robert's name is up there, Jan's name is up there, and by the way, Gary, we need all the other national coordinators up there. I don't know why the numbers don't
care. Yeah, I will work on that. That was something else that was somebody else mentioned that to me. We'll work into that.
And you can always send something to Gary at nationallibertyalliance.org. Let's get him busy, you know. But he can advise you too. But right now, give a call. Look at the job we're doing. Let's not do text. Let's not do email. That's easy to get lost. Let's get real. Let's get physical. Let's get on the phones. Let's get talking. Let's get moving. Let's get working. And as we start working, it becomes a habit. And good habit is what we want to get people involved with, the good habits of working to save the nation.
Right. Great. But before I actually be able to do anything, I got to keep my behind out of jail. And so I have a motions hearing tomorrow, and this is in Bonner County, way up north in Idaho.
What kind of case?
This is driving without privileges.
Okay, if you want to do a habeas corpus, click on the help sign on the right-hand side of our paper page. You'll see the happy upside-down face, so it's a frowny face. And he's holding up a help sign. It's on the right-hand side of our website. Every page has it. Click on that. Find the category you belong into. Click on that. And you go through that process. Now, we are really, really behind in habeas corpus. We're almost at a standstill, as a matter of fact, because of what's going on in Oregon, and we're getting ready to move into the courts here.
Uh-huh.
But you can get into the list there and possibly get a habeas corpus eventually done. It's an uphill battle, so we've got a few people out, but most people are still sitting in limbo, and we got to fight these people. It's an uphill battle.
So is this... the habeas corpus, that the one that removes it to the common law court?
Well, it can move it to a common law court. It moves it out of their court. And if the common law court doesn't pick up on it, which it won't, you're out, you know, because they don't have the authority. They're running a chancery system. And the town courts and the village courts are really, really, forget about it. They're way out there. They don't even belong.
Okay, so what about this, what's called courtroom observers? John?
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Thomas. I'm Kev's brother.
How you doing?
Good. Nice to meet you. I'm a friend of mine referred me to your website, I think within the last week. I'm out in California, and Kev's in Idaho. We're up here. He has a case. I put a email in yesterday or the day before, and they told us to come on the call and explain the case. And we're trying to get... like just an observer or two, they have a rule in this jurisdiction where they can give you a partial record, and that's the only record that can be appealed. We don't really know how this is going to go, but if they try to go through with a jury trial and find him guilty, then we definitely are going to go try to file an appeal on it. But I know that they can alter the record, and so. What we're thinking tomorrow is just to, Kev has filed motions. He put a constitutional challenge to the statutes. I'm hearing that they just say we don't do that here kind of thing. So it's openly.
Well, you can fill out a form for courtroom observer assistance. All you have to do is go up to committees, highlight committees. You come down to courtroom observers committee, you highlight that. And in there's 7 different choices. One of the choices is request courtroom observers, and if you click on that, you go to a page where you can fill out a form, and you can always follow up on this if you the next day or something after you fill this form out. You can follow up by going to the directory And if you click on the directory, you go down and you look for the committees, you'll find the courtroom observers, and then you should find a name and a number, someone that you can call to find out, you know, what's going on with your potential case.
He's not going to get it for tomorrow, though. It's too late.
Oh, it's too
yeah. Yeah, you wait too long there, and people won't see it, and by the time they get it, it'll be too late. And look, you got to learn how to stall. You can stall a lot of times. It's easy to stall. Tell them you need time to seek counsel or something. They give you 45 days like it's nothing. And, you know, if it's going too fast, just stall it, and you can. And most of the time, if you're pro se, the judge, you don't have a lawyer, you're defending yourself. They should always give you more time. If you, you know what I mean? You go in and plead it and say, look, I need time just for this or that, or I need leave of court. And they usually grant it because they don't mind if they got you in there. You know, the longer the better, they figure. So don't be afraid to stall it until you can figure out what the heck you're doing. Okay?
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you want to make Gary? Well, go ahead. You want to say something else?
That's what I was just going to say. I'm also going to go ahead and make donations like they're requesting there. But I just didn't do it because I want to mail physical checks. I like to get copies of my checks back, and I don't like using their...
You can find the direct mailing address on the donation page.
Go ahead.
Yeah, anybody, there are a couple of people who are sending in checks. In the beginning, we did under a corporate name so I can cash them. We did under Tradewinds, and we still have maybe three or four people sending in checks under Tradewinds. If you can change that to National Liberty Alliance, because my bank now is refusing anything that's not set out to National Liberty Alliance, so we'll be sending those checks back. But, our address is out on the website under donations, and you'll see National Liberty Alliance, and you send it to that address.
Okay. Yeah, when I get back in California after Kev's case, I'll be back next week, and I'll get those into you, okay?
Appreciate that.
Gary, thank you, guys.
Sorry, can you check, because I'll tell you what, I was looking through the list here in the directory. We don't have everybody on this directory page. We don't have any of the committee leaders on this directory page. So we have to get their names up here.
Only the directory committee's chairman who have committed and are ready to move on something, John. I've got a few wishful committees of my own out there, but some of the people that originally stepped up have stepped back.
Okay, so we need committee leaders. We need people for all kinds of leadership roles. So please step in and take these positions. But do not try to get in touch with someone by email. You want to get in touch with people through the phones. Give them a call. Call the national leadership and call those people. They will talk with you and help you to direct you and connect you. Maybe on the same phone call, they'll try to get a hold of the leader of a particular committee that will work well with you. Or they'll give you the phone number, and then they'll put a word in to the committee leader or whatever to work. And again, you know, we also need, biggest things we need right now is really people working within their federal districts. We need federal district leaders right now in every federal district. There are 94 federal districts. We need more. We have a little over 100 people involved in that, but we want more than one person per federal district. We'd like to have two or three or more in each federal district, so please. And state coordinators. If you're a state coordinator, be a federal district leader too, because it's pretty much the same job. But it's more involved, and it's a closer working with the national. Okay. All right, that's it. All I got.
Okay, I'm going to go to the next call. It says Idaho Kevin, so maybe he was already on. Go ahead, you've been unmuted. And then 219.
I'm in Illinois, actually. My name's Adam. Okay. Happy President's Day, guys. How are you doing today?
I got mixed feelings about that, but go ahead.
I hear you. A couple things from a couple different callers. That guy, David, I think he was in Arizona, wherever he was, talking about 911 or dispatchers being separate from the police department. We've had that going on here for years now. Illinois, it's a laundry list of problems here, buddy. I know how he feels, but we've been there for a while. Right now our city council is trying to buy a section of land from the downtown area and build a hotel at it. catty corner. They did the same with the Coliseum that has failed. Taxpayers always pay this because it's never been in the black since it's been built. And they're trying desperately right now to get this thing built. They want it right across there. They just have this idea in their head of what the town should look like. We got some pretty serious Democrats in there. They're spending a shit ton of money that ain't theirs. That's the problem we're having here. I know a lot of guys have problems in different areas, but this is the main one. This is what's sinking Illinois. The state's going to go the way of Detroit if it maintains this course. It's above me, and I don't really know what to say about it. I don't know how far.
Well, let me tell you something. Not to interrupt, but you know,
oh no, please.
A lot of states have the same problem. And what we found, well, I don't say we, but when we were working with Bob Schultz from We the People, what he found is most of the stuff they do is against your state constitution, and that's how he battled them. They're not doing things the way that they're supposed to do. You read your state constitution, you'll find out that they're moving all kinds of money in all kinds of ways, and none of it is legal.
Here they're redefining tax. They're calling it fees. We've recently gotten this thing called entertainment tax. I don't know, maybe bigger cities are familiar with this, but this just came on us. We just found out about it. So anything in our county, well, I don't know, it's like 4% extra on tax to go do something entertaining. Unless, of course, you go to the Coliseum that's failing, then it's like 13%. But, I mean, about every 2 weeks, these guys, every time they meet, they raise money. You know, raise taxes. That's what they're doing and buying stuff that we don't need. I mean, they just bought flamingos for a zoo nobody goes to. We got the worst streets. Probably the worst streets in the state of worst roads. We've got potholes the size of just asteroid craters over here. But this is what they're doing. They're trying to just take everybody's money and make it beautiful, I guess.
Yeah, they're putting flamingos in the potholes, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't even seen the damn birds. Then they found out, oh, yeah, they don't live in Illinois. They have winter. So they had to build a shelter for them or whatever. So,
oh, you mean real flamingos, not even...
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about real flamingos. And we're talking about each bird. They brought a whole flock. We're talking about over the course of a lifetime, each bird's about $435,000.
Oh, my goodness. So somebody went and saw flamingos and they thought that they should bring them to Illinois. I mean, that's a typical...
I'm in a place called Bloomington, and this is a twin city, Bloomington Normal. Normal is, of course, Normal. Normal is a home of ISU, Illinois State University. It's a big university town. They got the money, and they've done their city council. Good luck even getting into their meeting to talk to them. They won't listen to nobody. But they've rebuilt their entire uptown on taxpayer funds, one way or another. Their taxes are a little bit higher on property there. But over here, they're trying to do the same in an economy that ain't built for it. Even though they're attached and you wouldn't know the difference, the economies are completely separate.
Right.
So that's what it is. You got these guys in there that are, they're redefining it. They're calling it a fee. You know, like, you can't keep up with them. And we've had some guys over here before. They tried to tell us they were going to limit us on speech. And some guys from up north came down, and they're up at the Watchdog. I think they're at DuPage College. A couple of those guys came down and shut them down on that real quick. I mean, we've got a lot going on, and I mean, I appreciate what you guys are doing. What I'm getting at with this is I'm looking for, I guess communication's key here. I'm in a different type of organization outside of this as well. And we use a thing called Yammer. I don't know if anybody's familiar with this. This is a pretty good thing if you guys aren't familiar with it. It's our own social media base, and you can just only the whatever you want inside of it, however you vet, and then put them inside of it. You can have your contact information, phone numbers, that kind of thing, but it's also a place just to put rapid information on. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to pass that along for better communication because it's always key. Something outside of Facebook.
Yeah, and it's called Gander, like G-A-N-D-E-R.
Yammer.
Oh,
Yankee,
Yammer.
Alpha,
right.
Mike,
right.
E,
I gotcha.
R.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always interested in an alternative because they do they do control things, and they do knock things down, and, you know, especially if something that's really hot, you know,
the issue I'm having with this is where, you know, in Illinois and California, I know, are a little bit different than most states, and I'm trying to pin that down on how. I'm looking for some help out here in Illinois. I've got to get more active with trying to get on there, but I've since deleted my Facebook. I just, you know, I don't know. Conscience tells me to get rid of it, and I did.
Right.
So,
right.
I'm looking for other means to communicate, and I don't know. These are tough places. This isn't, you know, I know New York's its own animal. Illinois is its own animal. We've got Chicago politics to deal with.
They all have their own special thing, and it's all horrible. That's all I can tell you. I mean, I just when I think I've heard everything, somebody else comes up with something else, and everybody comes in and says, "No, my state's the worst because they're doing this." No, my state. It's really.
I'm sure everybody's is different. I just didn't know if anybody had anything for this. What you guys' thoughts are on that? Also, there was that one thing before you answer that question. The guy that was asking about credit, mm-hmm. I went to creditrepair.com. You know what? Those guys actually took pretty good care of me. They if you don't have time to do it, basically they just send the letters off for you, and they actively fight for it. But
right.
There's nothing fast about it. Nothing fast about it at all. It's going to take you at least a year, and you better be putting the money into it that you need to put in.
Right.
That's just the way it goes.
Right.
It was off topic then. It's off topic now. But there you go. It's so somebody
well,
can give
fact
you a good
of the matter
answer.
Is the real fact of the matter is the only people who can have credit are those that don't need it. So that's the ultimate. There you go. So like you said, you got to put money into it.
Last question or one more. The power you had mentioned a website. Power of what was it?
Of the county sheriff. .com or .org. I don't think it matters. That's some place that you could send, like, your sheriff to, because we're trying to educate them.
Yeah, powerofthecountysheriff.com, and I think we do have net and org, all three of them.
Right.
And actually, it brings you right to a special page made right here on nationallibertyalliance.org. But it really is specifically for the sheriff, to bring the sheriff in.
Now, as far as your local issues goes, look at everything we do in the courts can be done local or federal or whatever. At this point, we're trying to pinpoint our focus to get into the court. You see, once we...
Local level, that's your answer.
What's that?
Local level, that's your answer.
Well,
the government closest to you affects you the most. If you can start making that change,
you might have more control on the county level, because those people, you know, you're voting for them, and you got a face, and they got a name, and look at all politics does start at the local level. We find that it's very, very corrupt at the local level usually. So you have to be careful when you go in there. And one of the problems with the local level is they are local, and so then if they decide to target you, they target you locally, and before you know it, they're coming out after you with all kinds of crazy stuff, they're zoning and this, that. I mean, I'm not telling you to be scared, but what I'm saying is that we find a lot of corruption, you know, and so our main answer is to be able to get the people in as far as the free, you know, common law grand jury, because there can be indictments. And you see, a grand jury can investigate anything, anywhere, anytime, and that's why they don't want it. You see, they want to take the people out of the equation. A grand jury can, if you go in and read U.S. versus William on the power of the grand jury, it's pretty much laid out there. Who, by the way, if everybody doesn't know, he passed away this weekend. He was 79 years old, and Anton Scalia is the guy that wrote the dicta in the case U.S. versus Williams that we rest heavily in as far as where the grand jury is defined in the Bill of Rights and, you know, in history and how they work and how they operate. He laid it all out in one case because he was giving us a bone, and he did a lot of that. And my hope is that now that he's gone, I mean, that case was in 1992, and what I've generally experienced in life, some of the biggest people, the people that move the nation the furthest and the biggest men many of them, if not most of them, didn't have an effect until after they were dead. So he's died. He's 79 years old, and there's rumors. I won't get into that. Doesn't matter. Fact of the matter is he spent almost 80 years on this earth, and he's released from the earth now. And I'm just hoping that his ideas will now. He's free because they can't go after him and try to get him to change his mind. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain power when you leave and you leave your words behind you. So we should all push that, because once we can reinstitute the people holding the government's feet to the fire, there is no limit. I mean, I don't care if you're talking local, federal, town, county, hamlet, everything. That's the way it's supposed to be. The people have to have the ability to reach into the government and rip out corruption, you know, and it can't be controlled by the government. It's ridiculous to think that you have to ask permission of the government that you're trying to control. That would be saying, like, I need my kids' permission to not give dessert tonight.
How do you stop them from eminent domain, then? Like, how are they able to buy...
Well, that's all unconstitutional crap. You know what I mean? Look at Dave Strick.
Right, isn't that what I should be fighting? I mean, basically, where should I start my fight?
Well, look at...
Should it be the fact that they're trying to buy land and build on it?
Look at National Liberty Alliance is the one. Most of the people that come here have already started to fight because they've been attacked by the community, whether it's CPS or whether it's a driving case or this or that. Everybody has their issues, and at some point sooner or later in your life, you end up fighting these things that you inadvertently cross lines with, whether you want to or not. Now, where should you start your fight is, look, we have a fight here that we're trying to institute this grand jury. So whatever you can do to support that and to bring it, you know, you need administrators in your county for this. You know, that's what you want to do. Yeah, you need to talk to your sheriff. You need to talk. Look, if you become active, it's harder for them to do things against you when your name has a face to it. That's what I found locally. You know, I joined the fire department. I ran and was actually elected into my town council. So I'm somewhat recognizable in my community. That's my advice, is to become active, get into the local stuff, because it's very much harder for them to mess with you when you're a person that they know has a voice. They don't look at they just like human nature, they want to take the path of least resistance. And in my experience, you know, you have a couple different kinds of people. You know, you got people that homeschool and they'll come to the door sometimes, they'll send CPS or whatever. And the parent that's sitting there wringing their hands, looking all worried, that's the one they attack. The ones that call them their civil rights lawyer and all this, you know what? They turn tail and they run. They don't want to deal with it. So, I mean, just take that, you know, it's a good defense is a good offense in my mind. And look, we've already started the fight. You go through, educate yourself, educate, get to learn the common law, get to learn what we're doing, because that will filter down into anything that you do. You know what I mean? Look, we're dealing in constitutional courts of record. You need to know what that is if you want to fight. You know, there's a right way.
And court
a
record, wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, you
yeah,
need
I'm trying to
know.
Learn the language right now myself.
Look at, don't we right. have...
Hey, the
we
key,
have
the key here, no, the key here is we've got two courses up online. Take those two courses. And then we have another page, you know, you can listen to all kinds of audios that we have under education, essays, lectures, all kinds of stuff. And if you want to become educated and learn the lingo, start with the courses and then work into the educational tab.
Okay.
Yeah, we got really good stuff. I mean, we have lectures on common law. We have Lysander Spooner. I mean, this is all good stuff. My biggest problem is I don't know where to start and stop. I want to hear it all. I can't get it all in, you know?
I recently lost my speeding ticket case because I just didn't understand the operations of court. I found all the information, but the application was what I was missing. So this is where I
It's tough at that level, and we did learn there. We started there, and we kind of you have to know the procedures and all that baloney. But
right, how can the state claim to be a victim?
Right, and traffic cases are nice to get you used to getting your feet wet, because you can always bail and pay the ticket, and you're done, as long as you don't do something stupid like get held in contempt. You know what I mean? So it's a good place to wet your beak and practice, and believe me, you want to educate yourself before you go in there. And sometimes they get stymied with the paperwork, and they don't want to mess with you, and they'll throw the ticket out. You can win that way too, where you're throwing stuff in, and they don't want to answer you, and they say, "Come on, here, okay, let's make a deal or whatever," and they give you a deal that you can't refuse because they want to get rid of you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Up there to court to go to fight the ticket. I got another one. It took 6 months for the first one. They dropped that one and picked up the second one.
There's lots of strategies there, and a lot of times they don't give you speedy trial. And there's all kinds of ways to win, and there's all kinds of ways of losing too. So, you know, if you really want to wet your beak, but you know, we don't mess around in there because we're too busy doing, you know, really for us. Yeah. The most important thing is to take back the country. They're marching across here with all this horrible stuff.
That's my goal here. Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to do it here locally and move it up.
Anyway, just cruise the site, take the courses, and believe me, you're going to find so much meat there. You're gonna go in the direction you need to go. You will. Anyway, I'm going to move on here. We got a lot of people.
Thank you, gentlemen.
So,
appreciate it. Have a good day.
You and welcome. Yeah. Okay, next caller looks like Scott. It says from South Carolina. I don't know how accurate that is. And if you're not Scott from Carolina, give me your state and your name.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm sorry I had you muted.
Yeah, I figured.
I was just a couple of points. On the letter, I noticed Rob was misspelled, but I don't think that's any.
Say that again. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
On the letter that was read, I was reading along with it, and I think Rob has two B's in it, not one. But I was just wondering, since Justice Scalia was such a constitutionalist, and since there is 10 months or 11 months till another president is sworn in, what effect is that going to have on any constitutional cases if he can appoint a justice?
Well, you know, and I've read some stuff. They said, oh, it probably won't get appointed until a new president comes in. But he's already working on it. But their opinion is that the Republicans won't approve anybody he puts in. But I don't believe that for a minute, because look at what we have today is Republicrats, you know, rhinos. I wouldn't dare to even guess. And we were kind of not too good with the Supreme Court anyway, because you only had a couple of guys that were good, and the one guy was a little weak, and they could basically run over anything, you know, because the majority of them are just not, you know, grounded in the Constitution. So,
well, I mean, my point being is, for one, this could change gun laws drastically. It could change any interpretation of the Constitution. And a lot of people don't know this, but Marbury versus Madison, a lot of people cite that case because, you know, it basically says the same thing that 16M jurisprudence 2D says. But it also set a precedent that the Supreme Court is the ultimate decider of the Constitution, of what is and what isn't. So
I think that's
a good thing. You have to have some place where there is a decider, but they still have to rule under common law and under American jurisprudence, no matter how you get there. And a lot of great work from a lot of early on justices really put a lot of stuff together that have really established American jurisprudence. So we're under common law, but bear in mind this other thing. You know, the idea that they get to decide on the meaning of the Constitution per se is really the court system really gets to decide what the meaning of the Constitution is. And if you're in a criminal court system, you're in a common law court system, there is no judge. And when the jury makes a decision, even the United States Supreme Court can't overrule that. The only thing they can do is if that decision somehow violated someone else's unalienable right, then they can intervene on their behalf. But that's about it. Now, the only court cases they can make a decision on and rule on are really equity court cases, because they're dealing with judges, and judges rule only in equity courts, although today they rule in every court, but they're not supposed to. And even the equity courts that they rule in, you know, if it's over $20, the people who are running in those courts, they have the decision to go in and go forward with a jury. And so really we can avoid them altogether. The other thing is that once you have the criminal activities being decided by the people, you have administrators watching and working and getting juries and grand juries and trial juries coming in that are untainted and that come in with principles, honor, justice, and mercy. Then you have the judges. Look at, they have no choice but to rule correctly. But you know what? If a judge rules incorrectly and is not overturned by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rules unconstitutionally, guess what? We the people can do something about that. It's called the grand jury. We can go and correct that and show them clearly where it's written. But once we're at that point, we're not going to go that way. We will have honest people, and occasionally you get a criminal hide under a rock, and we'll get them eventually. But if we don't, you know, no big damage is being done to the people anymore, and that's the key here, and that's what we've got to get to. So really, Marbury versus Madison really helped quite a bit. And they are the final arbiters, okay, in cases that they're liable for. And it really does bring everything into a federal court when there is a concern about your unalienable rights. Once you have your unalienable rights violated, that's a federal offense right there. You go right into the federal court. And that's a good thing because, again, they are the that court is the decider of all things in that case. And as long as you get an untainted jury, you're in good shape. And that's what we're fighting to do. If we're successful, we won't have these plagues no more.
Well, I know that, all of the websites, I had to post the last press conference by the Arnold Law Firm and I think she's I can't remember exactly what her office is, but there's a couple of them there. Fiore, I think is her name. But anyway, it was scrubbed. I mean, you know, if the law firm hadn't put it out, I couldn't find it anywhere. You don't see it on the news. It's scrubbed from there. And when you do, you see, you know, they're militants, not occupiers. You know, and the whole thing, they keep calling them the citizen grand jury, and their interpretation of the Constitution. They keep saying this. They bring this up constantly in all everything I've read.
Right, and that's what we're battling. That's what we're up against. That's because lawyers control everything. They get all their cues and all of their information from lawyers. And look, one of the things we have noticed is the moment we've gone into courts, and we've been going to courts now for 4 years, as soon as we start to question, they all lawyer up themselves. Judges, they won't talk to you. You can't talk to a judge without talking to a lawyer. They'll have you counsel. Even when we went after the princes of New York, the lead judges that control New York State, and they're responsible for making sure that we have a lawful judiciary, even those people, when we start talking with them, we get responses from their lawyers and not from them. That tells us they have something to hide. That puts them in bad behavior. That's a removable offense because they have a duty to speak and they're hiding behind lawyers. So ultimately, at some point in time, we're going to remove all these judges. And ultimately, they're going to have to answer because there's a lot for them to answer to.
Well, I appreciate your time. I just think we're running out of time real quick.
We are.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's why I sent out the message today, and we need to get up and get moving now. We need to make use of all the membership that we have, all the people. Let's go doing what we have to do. We got to get this job done. We have to get it done this year, and I doubt we have the full year.
That's true. Well, okay, thanks. Scott. Thanks a lot. Yep. Next caller.
What did you do that for?
I didn't do that.
Who did that?
I hit next caller and it shut off.
Okay, someone's fat
fingers. I'm sorry, everybody, jump back in the queue. This stupid program here. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to just go to the next one. It says, is it Merritt? I can't even read that. Maranatha?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey. Yeah, it's Maranatha.
Oh, Maranatha. Okay.
It's the Greek for come Lord.
What's up?
It's really crazy. I didn't expect to get on today.
Well, see, God works in strange ways.
Hey, he really does, man. He really does. First of all, I just thank you guys for all the work you do that nobody sees, and obviously probably nobody thanks you for.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
But I hate to dredge it up again. I know you guys probably hear a lot about the whole license issue, but not so much to put it in your guys' lap to defend me, but more to the point that I think that really every citizen needs to be educated and able to stand as their own counsel, really. I literally can't afford insurance. They want to charge me like $300 a month for this craziness. And, you know, what can you actually win your case? You know, I've had a couple of small victories with things like crazy hospitals and whatnot. They literally were trying to call the CPS on me 12 hours into being a father, pretty much for having a baby.
I'm one of the worst. The CPS is horrible.
Man, you know, well, see, they really didn't do much. My mom was there, and it was cool because she has a lawyer friend who just happens to also operate as a CASA.
Right, so you were...
And then shortly thereafter, I'm a pretty quick study, man, so all through the time there, I was researching my rights and, you know, how that operates with hospitals and whatnot and whatever, but to be quite frank, the court scared the crap out of me, man. I'm a young Mexican guy, so I've seen my fair share of unfair stops and this and that and the other thing. And I get that I should remain, you know, super friendly all the time, but how do you win that? Is there any way, you know, cause I also think that it's important because, the more that people exercise their rights, I think, it needs to become normal and not viewed as a crime. Cause I'll tell you, you know, it's just wanting to, exercise my parental right to decisions, medical decisions over my child, it was viewed by a crime by like everyone there.
Absolutely. And as far as driving goes and insurance goes, that's a real tough one because look at you win the battle and you lose the war. I mean, we have some people that we know that win on a local level and they'll actually they'll leave them alone in their county. I think what's his name? Bagnarek drives around with no license and stuff, and they leave him alone because he's whipped the hell out of him in court so many times.
Right.
You know, they've put something on his license, at least locally, where they'll leave him alone. Trouble is, if you want to jump in your car and drive across country, that's not going to cut the mustard. You know what I mean?
No.
So now you're forced to carry this license just to keep yourself out of jail so that you can make it across the country unless you're going to travel with public transportation all the time. And then there's the other issue is that, look, at under common law, you're expected to cover yourself. In other words, if there's an injured party, you have to do restitution. Well, you know, not having insurance means that you're going to have the ability to cover any damage that you do, even under the law. So, you know, if you're driving around, you don't have insurance, you have an accident, and there's injuries and things like that, it's pretty hard to argue that, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I believe in that, too. You shouldn't infringe on the rights of others. I get
that. So, and that the only the thing I have a problem with is the insurance company, who are corporations, you know, and who runs our government now is corporations, and they do things like make it a felony if you get pulled over with your insurance lapsed, which can happen inadvertently at any time to many people. It does happen, you know.
Right.
And so now you're a felon. I mean, a felony? Come on. Especially if there's no accident and there's no injured party. How do they have the nerve and the gall to make a law that says it's a felony because you're running with your insurance expired? You know what I mean? Doesn't make sense. But that's what they do, and it protects their bottom line. And they make then that way they're enforcing that everybody has it. And it's not because they're worried about an injured party. It's only because they're worried about their profits. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, it is an uphill battle. I don't know what to tell you about that. I try to pick my battles. You know, a lot of times you go in and when you know how to file paperwork, you put in a good paper to begin with and you see what happens. Sometimes they throw it right out. They don't want to mess with you. And, you know, there's ways of navigating in that court where
I've pondered on what kind of reaction you might get if you were to, say, notify the authorities ahead of time that you're going to be traveling through their area, or if you should even use that word.
I don't know what to tell you. It's not a good situation. You know what I mean?
They're, right.
And they don't want to, and right away, you know, you're keyholed into a profile.
Right.
You're a sovereign citizen. You're a terrorist. You're this, you're that. Mm-hmm. You know, look, if you're in Mexico, you carry around, you know, $20 or $30 or $40, and you get the best justice that money can buy because they all take it, and it's actually easier than here. So you learn how to bribe the cops.
Here
you can't get away with that, you know. If you have money, you get away with anything. You got all the justice that you could afford, and that's really the long and the short of it, especially with driving stuff, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me, man, is I am a hard worker, but I just, you know, it's not cutting it, you know.
I don't know what to tell you. It's
not cutting it, brother. But I guess it really touched me, man, because I overheard a conversation at my workplace, and you know, my young brother here is talking about how he's warning his friend not that he shouldn't get a car because it's too much trouble. And I'm just like, man, what kind of slavery is this, man? You know?
Yeah, it is.
That we're actually warning each other that we shouldn't exercise a right to have private property because it's just so much trouble.
Well, you know, the only thing I can tell you is try to think outside the box. You know, there's got to be an answer. If you got a group of people together and you all got into a piece of transportation and you pulled your stuff so that you have a driver, like driving Miss Daisy, you know?
Right.
And so I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I just know, look, we shouldn't have to have licenses to drive. We didn't start out needing licenses to drive. And there's always, are you riding or are you driving, that whole business of driving cattle across, and you got to pay the grazing fees, but riding, they can't, you have a right to travel. They're not going to decow to that. Although I do know that they're telling the officers now, at least over here in the East, when you walk up to the car, you're contracting with the person. So generally speaking, you end up, you're your own worst enemy on the road but when he engages you in a conversation, that's designed to bring you out and have you consent or also have you fall into a trap. So
right,
you know, there's a little video where it says why you should never talk to the cops, and it's put on by a lawyer, you know, a guy who was a lawyer who's now teaching in, I don't know, Harvard or one of these big law schools, and that's a pretty interesting one. So,
Yeah, you know, I forgot to mention I'm from Michigan, but so I research it specifically in Michigan because I'm very well aware that it's different in all the states and whatnot. But there seems to be a guy who's having victories with it. He stops him right at the traffic stop somehow by just saying that he doesn't answer questions and he's real polite. But then he hands him some kind of affidavit and probably a card for a lawyer. But his car is all done up in vinyls that says private. And then the license plate just reads not for hire.
Yeah, and they may know him in Michigan, and they don't want to deal with him, and they got that thing where that says leave him alone because he's too
right.
It's like poking at a bee's nest, and they don't have time. I do know. Look, if everybody pled innocent on their tickets, if everybody would just do that, you could shut the system down in a week.
You know, and that brings me to another thing. I've been listening. Before I ever joined, I listened to a lot of your guys' calls, you know, just trying to practice discernment. And, I loved it, and I joined up and everything. But, you know, I noticed a lot that there's a lacking in leadership and a lacking in people. And, you know, jokingly, I want to blame it on complacency and the fluoride. But I guess just for everyone listening, you know, I'm reminded of what God says in Ezekiel 22:30 about how he sought for a man among them that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
Imagine that. And if God can't find any, guess what? You're not
right.
going to find them either. Right.
Right. And that, you know, it's serious business.
Right. Hey, what's your name?
My name is Mark.
Mark, and you're from Wisconsin. Okay.
Michigan. Yes, sir.
Michigan, excuse me.
Yeah, so I'm all about it, man. I've been telling people about the website and just praying that the Lord would stay our destruction for just a little while, if at all possible.
Yeah. So look, we're all in the same boat. You know, we can only do what we can do. Trust in God. You know.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm gonna go to the next guy. Thanks for that. And
all right, brother. You guys have a beautiful night.
Yeah, you too. Okay, we got South Dakota. It says Stephanie, and if that's not right, let me know your name and your state.
No, it's Brad from Pennsylvania.
Okay, very good. That wasn't even close, was it? No.
I haven't called in a while, so I don't know. You
it's that VR.
So if I'm breaking up, I apologize.
Okay.
I started taking the constitutional test there, and I found a little bug in it. I answered one question, and it said I answered all of them correct. So you guys might want to look into that. But the real reason I'm calling tonight is
tell us where that was. Do you recall the chapter?
Yeah, very first question. Answered the very first question and hit return, and everything came back correct.
Really? Hang on 1 second. Carl, are you here? You want to call?
I am. I'll take a look at that.
Okay. Do you need any more information on where that location is?
If it's the very first question in the course, I'll just take a look at it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, thanks a lot for reporting that.
Yeah, no problem. I stumbled upon something in another group that I'm a member of. Excuse me, man. My voice is really bad. I stack some silver and stuff like that. So I'm in the, what the hell is this page called? The gold. Gold is money? Yeah, gold is money. Premier gold and silver form. And they were talking about the Second Amendment in there. And they brought up a interesting thing here called the Doctrine of Necessity. And I was wondering what... actually, these thoughts were on that. Seems like a fine appointment from what I'm reading. And I was hoping I could get some verification on this what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't know what the Doctrine of Necessity is. I mean, I can take a guess on it because it sounds logical. But if you have some connection... Well, you know, some link that we can go look at this, but I can probably Google it and find it.
You just Google Doctrine of Necessity and look it up on Wikipedia. And its basis is on which extra legal actions by state actors, which are designed to restore order, are found to be constitutional. The maxim on which doctrine is based originated in the writings of the medieval jurist Henry D. Bracton, and similar justifications for this kind of extra-legal action have been advanced by more recent legal authorities, including William Blackstone. That's just the first part here on Wikipedia. But it seems like this is the leg that they stand on when you're in the court, and how they, you know, to restore order, so to speak, so that they have control over their great big kangaroo court cabal. This is what they're standing on. And
well,
I just,
who was the forefather that said many a liberty is lost under the guise of necessity?
I understand, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, because, we have to do this because this is necessary.
Right. So latches imposed also if people aren't educated and they allow this to happen and their rights are not, they don't know their rights. It's not the court's job to inform that people of their rights. Therefore, latches imposed, as Carl Miller says. But I just found this very, very interesting when I was reading this thing over there at Gold is Money. And I was just wondering if you guys had anything more to say about it. And I'll stop jabber-jawing at this point.
Okay.
Okay. I do have a question. You said it was the very first quiz and the very first question that was the issue?
Yeah, the introduction. I put the answer in and I pushed return, and then it went through, and it just, I didn't get a chance to like fill in another question. So I guess I was supposed to fill in all the questions, but I just did one and hit return, and then it just went to another page and it said correct all the way down through.
That's interesting. I guess you got lucky or something, because I can't repeat that. So, well, what's your username on the site?
It's Spoiler.
Okay. I'll take a look.
All righty.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Back to you, John.
Okay.
Forget.
I'm going to get my screen up here. Okay. The next caller is the wireless caller. 5750. I don't have a
name.
Can
you hear me?
Yes, you've been unmuted.
All right, thank you. Hey, my name's Doug, and I'm from California.
Okay, Doug.
And
nice to have.
I'm new to this NLA thing, but I've been in the fight for like 25 years now. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know a little bit about common law, but I've been fighting them. You talk about the sheriff. Right now, I got a case going on right now in Modesto because Riverbank, well, Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office, acting as Riverbank Police, came up and wanted to talk to me, and I told them, hey, check this out. I don't want to do business with you. Got nothing to say to you. Burn rubber. And they decided that their next order was, hey, get out and lay on the ground. I told them, that's not a valid order. Tell your mama to get out and lay on the ground. And they got six of his buddies. They beat me unconscious, took me to jail, and then went through my private conveyance that was parked outside. I wasn't even driving. I was just sitting there listening to tunes. And took all of my medication that was prescribed to me and then left my vehicle there to be stolen. And then when I bailed out and went to complain about it, I got threatened by the police. They wouldn't even let me into the police station. And then I filed with the county and told them I wanted an investigation and all of this stuff, and went to my arraignment, and they raised my bail by 500% and remanded me back into custody in retaliation. Okay? Now, I got all the documents on all of this. Okay? I've also set them up. Now, I got to bring something up here. You guys talk about common law. Okay? Common law is good. Okay? You have to understand something, too. I heard an old call about Anna von Rietz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Anna von Rietz has laid out exactly what happened. Okay?
Yes.
Now, being that this is a Government Services Corporation. It's not even our government, because our government walked off and left vacated seats. It's not there. And it's up to us to fill those seats, okay? And what Anna did was she brought it to the World Court and the Vatican, who's ahead of all of this. What you have to do is you have to understand that common law is fine, but there's three law jurisdictions, okay? And right now, you have the corporations operating in admiralty, okay? They're doing that by presumptions, okay? So if you rebut those presumptions, it doesn't leave anywhere to go. Then you tell them, hey, I'm sovereign. I'm one of the free and independent people of the United States of America major, and you got no jurisdiction over me. Matter of fact, you work for me, okay? Then you start hitting them with crimes if they don't do their job, because they breached the fiduciary duty. Right now, I have a $49,621,314 accounts receivable on each one of the cops, on the district attorney, and on the county risk manager, okay? Now, tomorrow, the 15th, this is the 15th, tomorrow I'm going to go file the UCC-1s. I'm going to list everything personal for the cops, and I'm going to list everything from the county. And then I've already written John Kerry and Ban Ki-moon, who are the principals, and John Kerry's in charge of keeping these stupid idiots in line. And if he doesn't want to be named in my RICO complaint, then what he's going to do is he's going to get in their ass. Okay, but if he doesn't, now I've got him liable. And you have to do this, and you have to lean them. And what I'm going to try to do is, and if you guys want to do a grand jury thing, all right, I got an investigation for you. But what I'm going to try to do is, these are corporations. They've breached their fiduciary duty and acted as a criminal enterprise on our shores, and they've acted outside of what their charters are and acted as a criminal enterprise. Therefore, they can be liquidated and all of their assets garnished and sold to pay my damages. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Now, they mentioned
Let me tell you what.
Did you read our papers? We filed about 12 or 13 papers in all 94 federal courts. Have you had the opportunity to read those yet?
No, but I've stopped. Look, I've discharged.
Okay. The other thing is,
I've discharged $17,000 worth of child support.
What I want to suggest to you is that you read that and then come back and talk some more about it. We'll let you talk more now anyway, but then you can come back and talk some more and see and understand what we have done, and we do understand pretty much everything that you have mentioned. We've done, do you know what a quo warranto is?
A what? A quo warranto, I read your quo warranto.
Okay. Well, that was the very first paper that we filed. Now, so what I would suggest, to read the papers that we have filed, and I think you'll see where we're coming from and how we're doing it. We're familiar with Anna Van Ritz. We're familiar with what she's doing, how she's doing it. We're doing it differently.
Well, what I'm doing is, look, I've been doing this for 20 years.
Personally, I understand that, but you don't.
I got myself out of prison out of 52 to life.
Right. But I'm trying to say though. But I'm trying to say that one person trying to do what you're going to try to do. Okay, look, I had opportunity in court already with the IRS, and when I got what I wanted, which was to get out of court, I walked away. I was not going to stick that and poke that back into that hornet's nest. It's insane. It's suicide. If that's what you want to do, fine. By the time you even try to even get your case through the system, we'll either succeed or we'll be at war, and that's the bottom line on that. But meanwhile, you may end up in jail. Because they're going to try to get you for contempt of court. They're going to look. They set the stage constantly. Look what they've done to you already.
I have nothing but contempt for their court. But see, I've done everything on the private side. I hired a lawyer to represent the defendant, and I brought the birth certificate in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you're fighting an uphill battle. That particular battle that you're fighting, they can't afford to lose. And unless you have a whole lot of people behind you looking, seeing, and watching and making this judge nervous, and it depends. We'll send a fixer judge in if they have to, but maybe he can get nervous too, but usually they're not. They don't care. They're willing to go to jail for it because they're getting paid real good money, and that's part of the thing. So,
I want to go to the district court. I'm taking it to the district court and taking them into involuntary bankruptcy.
they
failed to pay their debt.
You realize that every court in America is de facto.
Oh no, I know, but look, it's their court system. They built it, and now their corporation acted as a criminal enterprise, and according to their own mandates, that corporation is to be dissolved, liquidated, and
right,
assets.
They're not going to do that, though. Look,
then they're going to embarrass themselves.
Well, no, because then you're not going to get any voice. They're going to squash you like a bug.
Okay.
Believe me. Look, if you've already been in the system 25 years, you have some experience, you understand that none of these court systems are operating legally, but you're making certain mistakes right off the bat. You're calling it their court system. No, we walk in, it's our court system. We own the courts. You are the de facto. You are the fraud, and you're committing crimes against the people, and you're trying to commit crimes against us right now, and you don't have the jurisdiction to move us here. We're in a court of record. You see, we're always coming back. We're taking control, and we're talking with freedom and liberty in mind and heart, and we're just saying the words of truth exactly the way it is as we see it, as we go forward, and you don't get any simpler than that. But doing this on your own, if a few of us were trying to do this on our own, they'd crush us like bugs. But
I've been in the movement for a long time, right? I got myself out of prison.
Yeah.
I've studied a whole bunch of stuff, and every group that I've been involved in doesn't want to take a look at anybody else's stuff or whatever.
Well,
and
well,
it's
that's
like,
true.
I put a conglomerate together, right?
That is true what you were saying, but let me suggest something to you. You know, you've put some work together and you want someone to look at it maybe, and I can appreciate that. You may have some good stuff there, stuff that we can really use. But what you want to do is study us first. And then when you see what we lack, then you can bring what you have to show us. And believe me, we will listen. We have people giving us advice here and there, and we change directions from time to time, and we'll admit our wrong when we're wrong. We've been wrong a few times. We've changed our directions a few times. I mean, not in a major way. Our goal is always the same. That has never changed. So by all means, we do want your feedback. We do want your education. We do want to glean off of you in areas that we haven't thought about yet. So we appreciate it.
Okay, but can I say something about these courts? They're not common law courts.
I know.
These judges don't have a oath of public office. I've got
well,
oath
the moment
of office,
that there's a
judges
judge in
there,
no. You see, that's another error. And again, we all have these errors that we've picked up along the way. There is no such thing as a common law court with a judge in it. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. No, there's a magistrate. And it don't even have
right.
to have a magistrate. You can have a sheriff or a coroner. They can run the court.
Right.
And that's happened
right.
in history for quite some time. So
right.
we can open, we will go back to that if that's where we need to be when we get into courts. We'll do away with any of these black robe guys that think they're going to come in and try to stick their fingers into it. We'll just fire them right off the bench and we'll get the sheriff and set him up there, and you orchestrate the court system. You make sure that there's order in the court as we go forward and make sure everybody's side is seen. We don't want nobody to disturb the facts and bring it right out. You can't prevent someone from bringing evidence into a court. It comes and that's that.
No, I joined your group just because I was interested in what you're doing. I believe in what you're doing, okay? I also know that, you know, I've heard a lot of people on here call and they talk about, well, nobody's doing this. And well, how about you, goddammit? You know, I'm near up here sniveling, but, you know, I don't see them doing anything. And that's the problem with a lot of things here, man. People want to say and cry about people not getting stuff done, right? But you know what? I'm on Social Security. I got my $5 in every month. I got, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
My thing is this right here, though. If you didn't do this, then you may go to war. So how many of your followers are really hope to die, willing to lay down their life for what they believe in?
Who's followers?
Because, see, all the people that are involved in this, brother.
Yeah, but they're not our followers. They're their own people. We're trying to teach people to be on their own.
No, they're followers of we the people, man.
Well,
you step into this, you step
but,
into land jurisdiction of we the people. We are we
yeah,
the people.
Yeah, but we are we the people. The point is, though, is we are trying to help people stand on their own feet. Four administrators in every county across America doing the right thing, bringing the king of the court back into the court, which is Jesus Christ, to bring the king back into that court. and to operate under his principles, under the sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And we're teaching people the Constitution, we're teaching people civics, we're giving them a broad range of education concerning, you know, all of these things. And then it's up to them to do it, because look at it, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. If a people don't know what to do, teach them. That's what Thomas Jefferson said, teach them. And that's what our government should be doing, but they'll never teach them, because if they teach them, they're going to be able to see their crimes. So we got to do it ourselves. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is. It's a facilitator for that purpose. And if we have error, if we have something that is wrong, by all means, we do want to correct it. If we're missing something that could be advantageous to our goals, we by all means want to have that. And so we don't want to not look at anybody's stuff. We do want to look.
You can indict people, right?
Of course.
You can indict people, right? You can investigate something, right?
Yes, and we're about ready.
You got a grand jury down here?
No. There's only one court case we're sitting on right now. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is thousands of people combined across the whole United States out of every state. And we'll be having a session in the next couple of weeks where we'll come together and we're going to make some decisions on indictments. But the only indictments that we're doing right now is the indictments concerning subversion against the United States of America, against we the people. That's our only purpose and our only goal. Once we accomplish that goal, we then will have seated the people into the courts across the United States in all 94 federal districts. And once we've accomplished that, then they will take control of the state courts literally overnight, because they will have to submit to the federal courts at that point in time. And they'll have to do, because it's a constitutional issue. So we will then be able to sit administrators in every county within the nation, 3,143 counties. And we're busy right now developing those people to take those positions as we're fighting through the courts to get those positions. And nothing is going to stop us. At some point when we hit critical mass, there's no way they're going to be able to stop us. That's like trying to stop a freight train 100 miles an hour and you got 1 mile to stop it in. It ain't going to happen, okay? And that's where we're at.
Well,
it is true. They could.
I'm all in.
They could take us down before we get there, but I want to tell you, we're mighty close. We are very, very close. And that's why I'm asking over and over again the people that are members of National Liberty Alliance to get their act together, get involved. Even if it's only for a couple hours a week, get involved. Become involved and get ready to take back this nation and become educated. Because if they don't become educated, we're only going to go back to where we were. And we're not going to permit people that are uneducated in these areas to take these positions. We're just not going to permit it.
Well, I do what I can. I'm all in. But I'm still going after them the way I'm going after them.
Well, yeah, I don't want to deter you from what you believe you need to do. But it is dangerous. I hope you could do well there. But what I do want to say is that if
We took a house from a bank just to test it out. I took a house from a bank, so I know stuff works.
We've got a few things under our belt too, but it is an uphill battle we've discovered, and I know you know now. But look, here's what we would like. You know, we would like for you to study our work to see what we put together, and then compare it to what you got, and show us if you think we're faulty somewhere. Definitely bring it to our attention. We will adjust.
Well, I've got all kinds of documents that I filed even when I was locked up, like when I tried to quiet title myself and all of their little BS and my cross claims and all that stuff. I got copies of all that if you want me to scan them and shoot them to somebody.
Oh, no. That would be way too much.
You see,
that would me be researching your work in order to make our work better. If I'm going to research work, I'm working on the Federalist Papers that I still have not completed. That's where I want to go, because that's where I can find more correction, I know. But if you've got work and you discover you want to work with us and you want to get real serious and you want to get the education that we've put forward, and believe me, the work that we have filed is part of our education. And if you go through that and you discover we're lacking something and you bring it to our attention, we will search everywhere to discover whether that's correct or not. And if it's correct, we'll adjust our course accordingly, because we need to do it the right way. We're all about finding the right way to do things. And we are dismissing the errors, and we've done this right off the bat. When we began really putting this stuff together with the realization that we had been deceived by a lot of websites out there. A lot of websites making a lot of claims that's just not true. They're giving a lot of advice that's very dangerous, and they're making a lot of claims that are not true also. And so
yeah, but a lot of people don't go and research that stuff.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just
that's what we did. We researched it.
And I researched a lot of stuff.
Exactly what we believe we need to be doing. But
right. Well,
I'm doing your
civil course and everything, right? And I'm going to do the constitutional course and all that, but, you know, I'll get in where I can fit in. Also, I should never be so arrogant
to say that we've got it all figured out, because we know we don't. And a lot of what we're doing, we rely on God to bring us to the right door so that we can open. And we need to really discover, and he'll send it to us, the right tools to open that door at the right time. And that's his job, and that's his business.
I'm a certified paralegal, too, so...
Well, hey, connect with us. Get involved. Get involved with committees. Get involved in some way where you can work and really help National Liberty Alliance in achieving its goals.
And I do believe that part of what he's talking about and what we're doing in the grand picture of things is the death of 1,000 cuts that they're experiencing, because there are people in there swinging, you know, their axe and cutting, making paths into them. And that's one of their problems. I think they're overwhelmed in a certain sense with all this stuff. You know.
Well, with him, it's like this: the only way to hurt them is with the money.
That's right. That's where
their money's a fiction. their money's a fiction. So if I come in under common law and use a common law default process and then a common law tort process against each one of them, these idiots are so arrogant that they don't even answer it. Okay, so now I've got them defaulted. They agreed to the debt. I billed them once a month for 3 months. Today was the last day on the 90 days. So now it's an accounts receivable. There's nothing that they can do about it. Take a transfer statement down after I file the UCC-1. Take a transfer statement down, verify all the documentation and their default, and have the Secretary of State transfer all their things in my name. And then send them a bill and tell them, I hope you don't like it. So, I mean, if they don't pay... If they don't pay, it's just like them, you know, when they come up and they attack you, the state pays their shit. Well, it's the taxpayers that pay their shit. Okay, well, if you get right down to it, nah. Start talking about contract law. Hey, look, we got a reciprocal lien right. They can take our taxes, and if we don't pay them or try to evade them, they can take our property to pay that. Okay, well, under equal protection and a reciprocal lien right, you know, they give government services. If their services are defunct or not forthcoming, well, then guess what? We got a reciprocal lien right on their personal property, not the state. I'm taking their shit. So, I mean, that's... And we
well,
got to
I will that. Tell you, I will tell you, and you probably know, that's what the feds are most sensitive to, is people doing those liens and those UCCs. Every time they've come out to us, that was one of their biggest things, you know,
Can I say something? If you do it right, and I can show you, I can show you the documents.
That's right.
I put a lien, $250,000 lien on a deputy attorney general in the middle of my case to take
off
my
case. Without due process?
Huh?
Without due process?
No, I showed through due process.
No, due process is the opportunity to be heard in the court of law. That's due process. So if you've leaned them without due process, there are very few liens that are legal and work in the field, but they fall away. For instance, the mechanics lien. Okay, the mechanics
lien.
I
filed it on her bar account and sent it to her,
I understand that. And you can get away with that to some degree, but I'm going to tell you, at some point they're going to catch you and they're going to nab you and put you in jail. And this, they're not happy with this. You become a target when you do this. That's one of the things we do not do. We don't get involved in that, because our focus right here at National Liberty Alliance is to teach people to become administrators for the juries, both grand jury and trial juries, and to go through the process of law. And anything we do with any of these people, we're focusing, we're going to bring them into a common law court. It's just a matter of time. We're fighting to get into the courts. We've been doing it for a couple of years. But let me tell you something. 2 years, 3 years ago, we weren't ready. 2 years ago, we weren't ready. 1 year ago, we weren't ready. I'll dare to say 6 or 8 months ago, we weren't ready. Okay? Now we're very close to being ready. We're still not ready, but we are so close we could be ready in a month. Okay? And so we're at that point of being ready. We're at that point. We're primed up. We're priming the sheriffs. We're doing a lot of things. But you see, all that time that we're working to get into the courts where people might see, well, that's failure. You guys haven't done it. This, that. You know, everybody has something to say about it. But you know what? It took that time to organize. It took that time to have a presence in every single state. It took that time to have an address in every single state for a unified common law grand jury administration in every single state of the union. It took that long a time to get a feel for everyone in the state. It took that long enough time to be able to now we're moving towards the federal districts, and we have the people in every place, and we've got most of the positions already filled, and we need more people on the federal districts. We are so totally organized and ready and educated and continuing to educate ourselves and others. We are there. You see, we're about to happen. And they know we're about to happen. And I believe that's why they're really starting to crank it up right now. They're cranking it up because they see us coming. And so it's a race to the finish line, but it's the tortoise and the hare race is what it is. We're going to be sure-footed. We're going to take our time. We're going to do it right. We're going to stick on principles, and we're not going to do the expedient thing. We're going to do the principle thing, and then God will bless us for that by his mercy. If this is his will, we will accomplish this goal, and these people will be brought to justice. But this is God's will, you know? But we're just going to do the right thing. We're going to continue to go forward because he hasn't veered us off of this track. And if anything, he has strengthened us as we've gone. Both, you know, in a literal sense and in a spiritual sense, we have become very strengthened. And so it's just a matter of time. We'll see what happens in the very, very near future.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm all in.
Okay.
You know,
well, jump in.
Whatever I can do to help, let me know.
Well, no, I won't let you know. You connect. Give a call to one of our national leaders. Get talking with them. Tell them what you're thinking, what you might be able to help at. They'll suggest some things, get some conversation going, and they'll direct you to the proper place where you could do the most good for we, the people, together, collectively.
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. I already signed up at that courtroom observer.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone should be a courtroom observer, by the way.
And then that jury thing, I signed up for it, too.
Okay, great. All right, appreciate the call.
Hey, it's not going to mess up anything because I'm going forward with this too, though. I'm not.
Yeah, I understand. And God bless you. We'll pray for you on that one. And I hope
all right. Well, hey, pray for me. And if they squish me like a bug, get them for me.
We'll pray for you more.
Yeah, we'll have you back.
Yeah, we'll do habeas corpus if we can. You got to get a next friend. You should have a next friend working with you. They can contact us. You should prepare the next friend papers.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. But I mean, it's at critical mass right now. I served a judge with like 20 documents showing him that I went back into the republic, that I wasn't a part of their corporation. I even hit him with the executor packet, or I'm the executor there of the estate, and I served it to him privately, and he rejected my offer. But he did it when he handed the papers back. He handed them to the lawyer. And the lawyer quickly handed them to me and said, I'm not dealing with any of that. I'm just dealing with the defendant. And so he rejected my offer, so I've got him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a critical mass. I go back on the 3rd.
And believe me, to tell you the truth, they're also a lot of ignorance on their part, too. They don't know everything, and that's what unnerves them a lot of time. When you have more knowledge than they do and you're bringing this stuff up, a lot of times they want to get rid of you because they can't hold up to it. And you know, that way
I never brought it up on the record before. I always did it privately because I'm a private person, right?
Right, right.
So my whole thing was I wasn't supposed to talk in court. I'm not supposed to talk in court. They're not talking about me. The lawyer's representing the defendant. I don't have a license to represent the fiction.
Right,
right.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't violated anything or anything else, right?
Right.
So I did it privately. Well, he rejected it privately, so now I have to go in publicly. So now I've got my civil flag sewed onto my desk, my little flag pen. I'm going in to learn the law of the flag. I'm going to lay it out on the record.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens because, you know, I mean, look, they come to us and they say, are you going to arrest judges? And we say, no, you are. We're going to make you do it. You know, and they don't know what to say. But anyway, I want to move on. We got a lot of people.
All right. Hey, I'm sorry I took up so much time. I just, I'm new here and I don't really usually get into groups.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Yeah.
So, but I'm all in. So, yeah. Like I said, I'll do what I can. Thank you very much, and God bless everybody.
Thank you. Okay, next caller. Let's see. It looks like Jeremiah from California.
I am here. How is everyone? It's Jeremiah Donaldson from Northern Cali.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few things. I am a new member to NLA. And I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to share. And I've learned so much already from reading the primer on the grand jury written by Richard. And I don't know who I'm even talking to, but I'm sure that you guys out there who have read it have probably read the same goodness. It's loaded with goodness. But I just want to say this. I suppose there's some notes that I took regarding sovereign citizens are being the agencies. A lot of comments earlier from people, I took notes. So I'm just going to basically read this list of notes that I took here regarding people that have been calling in and asking questions. And I do a lot of studying, you guys. The whole reason why I started studying law was because I wanted to help my kids and lead a better life so that way they wouldn't be subjected to a system that was corrupt. And it was basically in a position I found myself in. I had no other choice but to affect them in that way. So I made a determination, and so I never turned away from that. And ultimately, as far as habeas corpus is concerned, I believe that that is statutory right now in most of the jurisdictions. So there is a statutory habeas corpus remedy. And what's interesting about case law is that it can be overturned by a statute and also by it can be overturned by a statute and by a constitutional law. So I don't know if you guys were aware of that. So that's why it's really important for us to actually, as a grand jury, a common law grand jury, right, get together and use some of this case law that has been found to enact new statutes or at least create laws based on the determinations of the grand jury. And so I really feel like that the grand jury is kind of a crucial. Oh, police officers. Yeah, grand jury is very important, guys, especially the common law one. But there's a difference between the civil and the common law grand jury, and that needs to be mentioned. So civil grand jury v. common law grand jury, what's the difference? Go investigate. Go read the federal grand jury instruction manual, right, for the civil grand jury. You're going to find some amazing differences. As far as police officers, well, unfortunately, because most of them work for municipalities, they have no peace officer oath of office certificate, so they are not. And actually, I've done legal research where Brigida Benuelos from the legal advisory team for the local municipality gave me information about 10 officers, and none of them were registered peace officers. So police officers are not peace officers. There's a huge difference. As far as the NLA federal district leaders stepping up, I definitely have stepped up to join the Common Law Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
I hope you guys feel the effect of what I'm going to bring in, which is going to be some really, really hard-hitting knowledge and truth of what the system has really to bind these fiduciaries to the duties. Another thing is that we could be asking whether or not for immediate effect, if you're in a system like setting, excuse me, sorry. Talking on the phone. Yeah. if you're in like a court setting, you could ultimately ask if it's an administrative hearing or a judicial hearing, and this way you're going to better know which direction you're going to, you know, want to go into. I know sometimes you can't get heard, but at least try to ask for a motions hearing or something like that so you can get these, you know, motion. Ultimately, let's waive jurisdiction, guys, especially if you guys are holding on to your common law claim. There's no way we're going to be able to stand in an administrative setting, especially under common law, unless we waive that jurisdiction. So, and they actually provide for that. There's actually case law. People versus Aleem from 1999 talks about the defendant's right to waive the jurisdiction of the venue. So I wanted to bring that up. Another thing is regarding common law of England and California Civil Code section 22.2, which talks about law being the solemn expression of the will of the state, and also being that the common law of England is the rule of decision in all of the courts of the state. So that should hint to everyone that, well, people with minds open will know. As far as the different levels of scrutiny for constitutional arguments, don't forget that there are these different levels of scrutiny that people forget to bring up. And I know I'm going on and on and on, but there's a lot of information and that people mentioned, and so I just don't want to miss anything. But you guys can kind of like remember that with a constitutional question, there are different levels of scrutiny. So middle level, and then like this like ultra level, you know, type scrutiny, which you can do the research and find out that it is valid. So make sure that you guys are using the highest level of scrutiny, especially when it comes to a federal question. Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, 1938, changed a lot of things, and we can use it to our advantage. I think try to
bring this to a tie, you know, to tie right. the conversation up, because we do have other people and starting to get late. But
all right.
And of course, and we think
I'm almost done.
Connect with us, okay? Yeah, but try to connect with us and become involved. Okay.
Anyone, feel free to ask a question about something I've mentioned. I'm totally connecting with you guys already on an energetic level. I want to talk about the family purpose doctrine. Also, which is basically the whole right to travel thing. That's important. I'm connecting with you when I bring this topic back up again that your previous caller had mentioned. So therefore, I'm bringing it right back in brown to again. You feel me? So as far as the cities. Okay, now the end comment here that I will make is two things. Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, right? Says that there's no federal common law. So that should tell us all a lot of things. We need to install that as the people. If the federal is not doing it, who's going to do it?
Well, we will do it. It's null and void.
Exactly. Now,
we're coming up with power and authority. We're coming up as the people, and the people make the law, not the U.S. Grand Jury, U.S. Supreme Court, nor any other judge. The people make the law, and they clearly are not following the law. To make a decision like that is just spitting in our eye, and that's null and void. We pay no heed to it, and we'll argue that easily and defeat that easily.
Well, of course you can, because it can be overcome by statute and by constitution, but at the same time, it does let you know that the direction they're all heading in. And I've done a lot of legal checklist work recently in administrative proceedings, and you would be surprised the things they're getting away with. But lastly, every city is the most powerful entity, not the county. In San Francisco, there is a huge mind screw going on where the people are led to believe that there's both a city and a county acting simultaneously within the same territory. And what it really is it's one single municipal incorporated state arm known as City and County of San Francisco, and they have an EIN, a federal EIN, and they're just posing as a county, and the court has the county name, County of San Francisco, or San Francisco County Court. So it ties into the corruption in all the other states, what's happening out here. But what we can learn from out here, I believe, is that they're trying to get rid of this county altogether and work solely under municipal authority, which incorporates home rule of the Constitution. And it's fantastic because now we can hold them accountable under federal rules. Thank you.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so we'll be in touch.
We appreciate that, and I think we're both on the same channel. I mean,
absolutely. If anyone wants to email me, I will give you what I'm working on regarding the administrative proceedings legal checklist. I will share with you. I'll give you a link share, so you can email me at secondsonofdonald@gmail.com, and I will share with you what I'm basically reformatting an administrative proceeding legal checklist and putting it into digital format so that I can refer to it easily, and I want to share that with other people here so we know a little bit about both sides. Thanks, you guys, for letting me share, and I look forward to hearing more from others.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. North Carolina, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, wow, the last two callers are really mind-blowers. I appreciate you guys, checking in. Man, I hate to ask anything right now. Hey, just curious, I was doing a search. This whole thing, he's on the sheriff's actually doing the implementation. And, you know, at some point we'll get into the courts. And then in order to have a legal arm, I would think to stay there or get anything done once we're in there, we're relying strictly on the power of the sheriff. Do I have that right or not? Because I while I was sitting, I was doing a search for sheriff of the District of Columbia, and it doesn't appear that they actually have one. Is that intentional? Do you know? Am I wrong there? Do you know?
Well, look, they want to do away with all the sheriffs if they could, because the sheriff is the constitutional law enforcement officer. You know, once we're in the court, we're not relying on the sheriff. The sheriff is just doing the enforcement and as far as giving the subpoenas and giving the indictments. But it's the people that are moving it forward. You know what I mean? You know, we need to get in that court, and we need to do what we need to do to get the subpoenas served and recognized and even an arrest if necessary to get them to answer. You know, see, right now they don't want to answer, and you need that enforcement to force them to answer. And so the sheriff is just the wedge that opens up the door. Once we're in there, then all this research and all this common law that we've been doing comes into effect. You know, they don't want to answer us, especially with the paperwork that we've laid out. The guys that are up there that understand things, they already know where we're going. You know, they know what our Coruanto means. They know that this is a kind of a stake in the heart for them. So that's why it's not going to be easy, you know, and they're trying to close any avenue in there. But once we crack it open, it's open. They'll never shut it again. You know, it's like you turn the light on and that's it. You know, it's like when cockroaches run, when you turn the light on, and that's what they are.
Well, that's what I was kind of curious about, because I was wondering what would be that trigger mechanism that actually opens the first door that gets in the first federal court.
That's why we're concentrating on Oregon right now, because we're in an area because don't make no mistake about it, this is a people thing. It's the people that make the law. It's the people, the people, the people. So how are you going to get people? You have to get them on a case that's somewhat notorious, quote unquote, right?
And keep in mind, we've already opened the court of record almost a year ago. We've been in the courts for almost a year, another month, and it'll be a year. And we've already got them in contempt of court. They've already thumbed their noses at us by not responding. They've already defaulted. But
right.
We'll still give them their day in court, and we're still going to go forward, and we'll still offer the branches. We go forward until we start indictments. Once indictments go forward, no more olive branches. As a matter of fact, our message to the trial jury is that we intend on taking this to the most extreme in every case. These people need to pay for all the damage that they've done to we the people.
And you know what? You can pay. It's hard to say how they could even pay. Some of them can't pay.
They can.
You know what I mean? It's like, and what do you do? I mean, now you get into
the death penalty. Look at, they're going to pay. They're going to pay with time. Look at, they're going to pay with time. That's what they're going to pay with.
Yeah.
But you know, there are answers to these other problems. You know, restitution. There are some answers, and we should not discuss them at the moment.
Yeah, right. I think there's going to be a lot more sheriffs that jump on board as soon as they see legally that, you know, we're starting to move.
Yeah, if we accomplish our goal in Oregon, you bet every state in this union, the sheriffs are going to start moving, and they're going to explode exponentially.
Yeah,
because we've got some sheriffs here in extreme western North Carolina and in the northern Georgia area that are really sharp, and but we've got one in my county that isn't so sharp, but he knows enough about the Constitution concept wise to understand that things are all wrong, and but he wouldn't step out there until, you know, he wouldn't be in the spotlight because I don't think he could handle that. But one other question. I was reading some stuff on the original 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the slave deal, the U.S. corporations. How accurate is some of that stuff? I mean, is that really what we're dealing with?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, the 13th Amendment really wasn't necessary, but it is helpful. It did add a little bit, but not much. We already got the information or the details of the 13th Amendment already in the Constitution. Now, the 13th Amendment became the freedom of the slaves, the type thing, and we didn't need that either. But it is a repentance by we the people, and I think it's appropriate, so it's good, too. I had an opinion that... But even the 17th Amendment is a problem, a huge problem, and there are others that are a problem, too. If you take our constitutional course, we discuss all of the amendments, and you can get a good point of view of what's really going on here.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I took that, but I didn't notice, you know...
Well, we did cover all the amendments. We didn't spend a lot of time on a lot of things because... Really, yeah. There are a few little areas that cause people to trip up or get them bored in certain areas. So, but once they get past those things and they understand the problems where they're tripping up, everything else is just common sense. And so, really, the Constitution is really very, very simple once you're introduced to it. And that's what we really do. We're introducing the people to the Constitution, and the Constitution will open and unfold itself to the people. It doesn't need us as an interpreter. We're just the guide. Guiding people through it and showing them, you know, certain things which will help to open it up to them. So it should be an eye-opener. We're getting reports from people that they feel it is. So we will, if necessary, make some corrections. I know there was something we had left out. We're going to go back and put in.
I took the constitutional course, and that may have been the trigger that actually got me to... doing a little bit more research on it. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. I appreciate you guys. Somebody took a horrendous amount of time to put that together, and much appreciated. And I won't take any more of you guys' time. We'll let the next caller come in. But thanks for taking my phone call, and God bless you guys. And we're right behind you. If we don't hear from us every now and then, we're still there.
Okay, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Then the next caller... is an anonymous caller. You've been unmuted. I don't know if you can hear that. I have no number. You can give your name and your state. Going once, anonymous. I don't hear anything. I'm going to move on here to Maud. New York, Maud, are you ready, Maud? Get yourself unmuted. I'm going to open you up because Anonymous doesn't want to talk. Okay, Maud, you've been unmuted. Are you there? Hello, hello. Are you hearing me? Did I lose my communication here?
No, you're here. We're not here. Okay.
So maybe we put Maud to sleep too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. I know Jan had something to say, but I don't see him in there, and I don't know. I can't find him. Okay, I'm going to go ahead to the next one.
Well, I just heard Jan. Which Jan?
Yeah, no real comment.
Yeah, he wanted to announce something, but I don't know where he's at. That's the problem. You know, he didn't get in the queue, so I got to go looking for him. You know. Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, this is Steve from Utah.
Yeah, you're over-modulating. Back off of your mic. Back off of your mic. A couple of inches.
Yeah, it's like...
Better, try it now.
Is that better?
Much better.
Oh, yeah. A lot better.
Okay. I was on Facebook, and I ran across a little deal there that was talking about this guy is a retired military guy, and he's giving some pretty good information. He talks about the Constitution and stuff, and what I found really interesting was he had a verse from Isaiah. I don't know if you guys have ever read it. It's Isaiah 33:22.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, the Lord is my judge, the Lord is our lawmaker, and the Lord is our king. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty interesting. But this guy's got a lot of neat stuff. I don't know. It's maybe...
This is on our Facebook or on your on National Liberty Alliance Facebook or your Facebook?
I posted it on my Facebook. I found it on the YouTube and posted it on Facebook. But yeah. What the heck was it? It's just about an ex military man uncovers the truth about what's going on in America, and it says we're screwed. And It says it's America's last wake up call. And according to this guy, he's a colonel or something like that. I can't remember, but he's saying that the children are all going to be indoctrinated from us, and it's already started, and there's no stopping it now. It's just something that they're with all the troops they've got here in the States and everything. It's something that they've already started. And wait.
Well, look at. It's true that it's kind of a David and Goliath fight, but what was David and Goliath? That's what it was. You know what I mean? And so saying that we can't
it was really Goliath and God fight.
That's right. That's right. He said, it's not me. It's my God that he's insulting, and you're letting him insult him. What are you afraid of? Don't you know that God's not going to let him beat you when you're fighting in his name? And so that's kind of what we're doing, and that's what we're resting in. And if we didn't have that kind of a faith, I don't think we would be here.
I understand that. That's why.
Absolutely not. We would be locking and loading and hunkering down and preparing for the battle if we didn't have that.
And I have a problem with locking and loading as much as I, I'm the son of a Marine and all that stuff. These guys have weapons beyond what you can imagine. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's I understand, like, totally understand.
It's like anybody that thinks that we're going to go head to head and beat them in a conventional war is delusional. And I'm very surprised that ex-military guys think that we need to fight and that somehow that's an answer. Look, it's the last ditch answer and the best that we can do if we have to get into a Second Amendment type situation is the balkanization of America. If we're lucky, we'll end up with maybe three or four or five states that end up being free, and the rest of them will just be all split up. Different countries will take them over, and you will not recognize America. And that's what I don't want to do. You know what I mean? And I'm getting too old to sleep on a rock, too, you know? I mean, the younger generation ain't going to do it either, so...
Also, and how they've made a road from China down to the Euphrates River, which they say
just
will be
know, 1 minute left.
Which will be the main line for the Chinese army to invade Israel after Russia is defeated in by Israel. But then China will take them on too, with 200 million.
Right. Well, all I can say is it's a very exciting time to be alive. Look, we were born into this time and into this season because it's ours. You know, so whatever place you find yourself, you definitely have a role to play, you know, and whether you pick up that grace or not is up to you.
I'm just trying to share, you know, what the Bible is saying, because the Bible and the Declaration of Independence couldn't be one without the other.
And, exactly.
And where the Bible says that the Lord is our, you know, lawmaker, and the Lord is our judge, and the Lord is our king. And we need to stand by that, you know, and more than our people are the lawmakers, because our laws are already written.
And there's so many passages that actually explain what's going on today. You read them and you swear they were written yesterday, and they're talking about us.
Right.
You know, especially in Isaiah. There's a lot in Isaiah, but there's other books that, my goodness gracious, it's like they're looking at exactly what's going on here. They apply so well and almost, absolutely. You know, it's almost, you know.
I just wanted to pass that along with you guys.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. We've come to the end of our program. We appreciate everyone coming. Please, everyone get involved. See us on other meetings throughout the week, and see us back again on next Monday, and we'll take it from there. We indeed have to hold on. We indeed are standing at the brink. We're at that end, and it's time to really get involved. So please, everybody, let's do what we got to do. Thanks.